and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and we're back on the air and in your ear. It's going to be an episode without a lot of bullshit. We haven't got time for that because we've been gone for a couple weeks. It's going to be all killer and no filler, and it's a real thrill for me to be sitting here with Curtis Axel. How are you doing?
How are you, Mo? I said that to my girlfriend. I pulled up a picture of Curtis Axel, and I said, don't I look like him?
Well, yeah. You're growing the facial hair. You got the hair in the same way.
It's my Stampede scruff.
Mm-hmm. You really let yourself go there, Curtis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm perfect.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how are you being?
I've been excellent.
Yeah?
Excellent. I've been out of the city and on a boat.
Oh, that's good.
So, hanging out. Remember we weren't going to bullshit?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Are you
going to ask how I've been?
Why? So, Raw on Monday.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's actually just, where do you want to go here? Let's talk, this is how much prep we've done. Addie's got a few notes. I said, I don't care if we get to them.
Yes.
We're just going to talk some wrestling here. It's going
to
be real.
Well, we do have to do eventually do a pay-per-view preview.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I'm going is maybe it's easier to do the pay-per-view preview.
Now?
In doing so, then we can kind of talk about the build-up on Raw and different things and where they're going. I can say you had a subtitle for this show that it could very well be, even though we usually just call it Money in the Bank Preview 2013, but this one you wanted to say maybe.
Yes. When there are no heels, there are no baby faces.
Yeah. And it works in reverse, too. And there's no baby faces and no heels.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
And like you. So I think that's probably where we're going to end up when we're doing this. But, hey, let's go back and do the Money in the Bank preview and talk some shit. Unless you want to hit some of the minor stuff and save that for the end. Do you want to hit some of your notes first?
I can hit some of the notes. I just want to talk about the Royal Rumble that we attended.
Yeah, what about it?
The buy rate.
What, now? It's August almost. Still July.
Yeah, the buy rate come out.
I thought it came out a long time ago.
No, it's out now.
Like you?
Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about the buy rate! 562,000 buys is what it ended up being.
It's so long ago, I don't remember what we made as predictions. But I had it very high.
You do. You were high.
I had it like 500,000 in range. 550.
562. It's the biggest since the Randy Orton Jeff Hardy did 575.
Yeah.
So that's their Elimination Chamber, 233,000.
And how did that rate to the other one?
I don't know. 1,041,000 for Mania.
Okay.
And Extreme Rules, 235,000.
Okay.
So it's looking like the bar, and so when I'm looking at this, and this brings us to the reason I point this out through the Money in the Bank is just in terms of the buy rate prediction.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with this is about, probably would say about 230, 235 buys because I look at the Elimination Chamber and Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank on the same level.
What did Payback do, though? We don't know.
We don't know yet.
It's, you know, did that do 140?
Well, that's, I presume so.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, exactly. So, if that is this a bounce back? Probably. Does it bounce back to 230? I think that seems a little high to me. 190? I mean, not a little high to me. Not like Evan Bourne.
No.
Truth. I mean, just a little high. Not really, really high.
Not RVD.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger level.
Yeah, I mean.
Not the newly divorced Randy Orton level.
It's because, well, it's, yeah. It's, but that's the thing is it going to be a bump? Sure, but. I don't know that it gets to that. I think Extreme Rules is getting some momentum. I mean, Elimination Chamber is right in the height of... This doesn't have that much momentum, I'm not feeling, because they've done as equal much good as bad, and it's not the high season for them, right?
No, but the Money in the Bank said tends to be, and the thing is I'm not...
You mentioned many times it's the new Survivor Series.
To me, it is the new Survivor Series, because there's, at the very least, similar to the Royal Rumble, is something is going to happen. Two things are going to happen at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
At the Summerfest?
At the Summerfest. But you're going to get two briefcases, you know, briefcase holders. And that's an event because that's a title that they haven't destroyed. It's a title they haven't killed. And so it's a situation
where...
The
idea that the person who has that briefcase is going to be successful in cashing it in.
Or at the very least, yeah, at some point of focus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of building up, I don't want to say the next guy, but this guy will be a player. I mean, if they give it to Randy Orton, you know, he didn't really do anything, but it's given to Randy Orton.
Yeah.
But it's something's going to happen. So I think that will drive some buy. Similar to Elimination Chamber, where it's that Mania season and something's going to happen, right? So that's how I look at it anyway.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
But if we want to start, let's go through. Do you know the matches off the top of your head?
I probably do, but do you want to do this now, or like I said, do you want to save it for...
Well, okay, we could save it.
Let's save the Money in the Bank. Let's talk some of the news items we have on there.
Okay.
Let's talk Matt Foran.
Yeah.
I think that's quite appropriate to at least give him a few minutes at the top here and give him some focus. Your memories of Matt Bourne?
Well, I mean...
Of course, he passed away recently at 56, I believe.
Yeah, he was 56, passed away. I have a few memories of Matt Bourne. Big Josh, mm-hmm. of course, in WCW, the lumberjack guy. of course, he's best known as Doink the Clown. And to a lot of people, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's when people at work are saying to me, oh, they're not saying to me Matt Bourne died. They're saying to me, oh, Doink the Clown died.
Doink died, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Doink was, you know, at first, at least, quite a brilliant character. In terms of the evil clown, it's remembered as they had a clown wrestling.
Yes.
But if you're actually watching it, the clown was like Matt Bourne himself after the match, and the look in his eyes, and the evil laugh and then glare look that Steve Austin would later do, really, when he'd do the ha-ha and then point at his eye. Mm-hmm. But it was that similar thing that Doink the Clown used to do that gave it that extra layer for a time.
There was an eerie feeling to him that you don't get from a lot of characters nowadays.
Yeah.
Even then, there was an eerie, and people are legitimately afraid of clowns. It was a good idea for a character. The outfit was always, I think, a little too over the top.
Yes.
They should have done that character, the evil clown, without that. The music he had as the evil clown was great. And that's the thing is, if you remember Evil Doink, that was always Matt Bourne.
It was.
He was not the Matt Bourne was not Doink for the entire babyface run. In fact, not even for most of it.
I don't think really hardly any of it,
yeah,
if
yeah,
any
it pretty,
of it,
it was
at
pretty,
all.
Yeah, if any of it at all.
I think he was
there right at the beginning.
I think he got canned and like Steve Kern was doing evil Doink even at the end.
Yeah, you might
and
be right.
then Ray Apollo got the babyface Doink.
And Brooklyn Brawler there, Steve Lombardi had a couple.
So well, when there were a few Doinks,
yeah. I don't know if that was ever on TV, but yeah,
probably. But
yeah,
I mean,
there are so many different people who did it, and he continued to be Doink on the Independence as the evil clown actually for a while.
Well, and he was then he was reborn.
Yeah, well,
ECW,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, he was yeah. So I mean, he's. In many ways, as a wrestler, because he's under the makeup of Doink, and other people become Doink, it becomes hard to distinguish, like you say, who was Doink, if there was a different babyface Doink.
Yeah.
And so that character, while memorable, for me, my biggest memories of him where I can actually remember, oh, that's him, I can put a face to the name, and I know him, is Big Josh in WCW, who was a character who was guaranteed to be a mid-carder, and let's face it, he was their attempt to do... to do Hacks, Fudge, and Dunn.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was good like that. He did a good job. His work was good.
It's ironic,
was a good
too.
He was a likable character. It is ironic because they didn't always get along.
Well, there was a problem, I guess, in Mid-South, Duggan and Matt Bourne, to the point where years later, like recently, within the last 5 years, Bourne... you know, was shooting on Duggan in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my last memory of him is bitter.
Well, that's it. He's calling out
Kevin Nash.
He's on YouTube, and he's desperately trying to get attention. And he was, drugs obviously was a...
That's it, yeah.
...hounded him his whole career. You know, is he a second-generation wrestler, I believe?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His brother also, I think, wrestled some.
Matt Bourne, and then, I'm trying to remember.
And, of course, his third
his
generation
father
would be Evan.
Yeah. Evan, exactly.
No, just
but No, I'm trying to remember what his dad, it's going to kill me now because I know, but his dad is a huge star in Portland for in that area. So, and Matt Bourne as well versus Brutus Beefcake, or versus Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, I'm really, when he was in, he was in great shape there, you know, he had a good look, he lost, of course, the Steamboat, but, yeah, I mean, he was, he was around for a long time. He was a solid hand in the ring, and he understood the business that he had, it was his demons that kept him from achieving his, and like I say, most of these guys, they don't have a fallback plan when they get out of that business, and they're still trying to make money from it and looking for attention, and it's sad.
And especially as a second generation.
He's too young, I mean, he did do the WWE rehabilitation program.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know exactly what his cause of death is, but, you know, you can speculate.
Yeah, well, that's just it. But, I mean, no, it's obviously sad when anybody dies, and at 56 it's too young, but definitely worth to remember Maniac Matt Bourne. Mm-hmm. And the other casualty... person that passing away, Big Bad Mama.
Really? I hadn't even heard this.
From Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah, she passed away as well. If you've seen the Glow documentary, you know, she's in that, very emotional about getting things together. But no, she passed away as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, certainly, again, a memorable character within that Glow, which is not very good, but she was a memorable character, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Are we still just doing? We're gonna do some.
Let's just break these down, and then we'll get to the.
One of the most overrated wrestlers in history has now retired, and that being your friend, Low Ki.
Yeah, Loki's awesome.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He is now retired.
Yeah, he was a very underrated performer, you're right.
Overrated?
Very, very underrated.
Very, very
He's
overrated.
An awesome, awesome performer. His match with Dolph Ziggler, his one pay-per-view match was great. Great charisma and great look and promos and skill. I mean, his work here in New Japan, when I was watching him, he's coming out just as the Hitman character from the video games. So cool.
Yeah.
He was just a great, great performer.
Did you hear what he's set to do now?
Voiceovers for
voiceover work, which,
yeah, he's got that. He's got that James Earl Jones type deep voice.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, just okay. That's interesting. He's not that old. He, but
32,
I mean,
I believe.
Yeah, I think it was he was in that match just over a year ago, 2 years ago, I guess now.
The
one where Austin Aries got a contract in TNA, and I think that was his last. I think it was a six man.
I think that. Yeah, it would have been 2 years ago now.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. That was probably his last time, and that was about 6 months after being released from WWE.
Yeah.
So that's probably the last time he was in the national spotlight. So, but working in Japan and having great matches with Prince Devitt.
Wait, he was in TNA, and before that he was in the national spotlight.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, he was in TNA.
Yeah.
He was on a national program.
He was on a program. Did you see the Raw 2 weeks ago where they had John Cena against Alberto Del Rio?
Yeah, why?
And it was champion versus champion.
Yeah.
And all throughout the show, they compared champions.
Yeah.
So Buddy Rogers, Lou Fez, Flair, Hogan, etc. Bruno and...
Bruno and Race.
Right, Race. Backlund and Dusty.
Backlund and Dusty, Flair, Hogan... Sting and...
Austin.
Was it Austin?
Yeah, it was Austin.
Sting and Austin.
Hunter and Booker,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely some names missing in there, some odd choices.
Wow.
I mean, given the fact that they had a few of them, great job in them. Like, you know, great job. Like, those were awesome.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Got me excited for the match.
Yeah.
The
interesting one was Sting.
Yeah.
Who sent out some feelers to WWE about getting in there.
For Hall of Fame, or?
Don't know. Just to come
into
WWE.
Is that a rumor, or just a rumor, right?
Well, it's presumably a fact because there's been enough people corroborating this story.
His contract comes up in October. I
want to say October, November. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not he hasn't in any way started a negotiation, but he's sent. I mean, he's gonna know guys. Flair, Dusty, you know, all these guys, Hayes.
Yeah.
You know, Steamboat, all these guys in there. So I mean, I don't know who he sent the feelers through, but that's what's happened. He sent feelers. Is there interest? There appears to be some.
Well, there should be some.
Yeah.
A one match, one time at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The right guy, it could be a big, big event. He really gets himself in shape.
Yeah.
He can fool people for one night.
Yeah. And then you can put him in the hall the next year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, why not?
It's
I would
good.
Do it.
Yeah.
Release the DVD and whatever. And
exactly.
Know.
That's the other thing,
yeah,
right?
It's good for him. It's good for the WWE. It doesn't hurt his being the only Hall of Famer or the first Hall of Famer in TNA or anything. I mean, I'm sure Kurt Angle will go into the WWE Hall of Fame at one point, too.
Eventually,
so.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it is interesting, though, that and in that, what
why
it...
Why now?
Well,
that's
and
the only
that
thing.
That's the question to me, too.
I mean, after all these years,
yeah.
And when they could have, when you had more, something left in the tank, is he 54?
I believe he's 54, 55, yeah.
Yeah.
When I answer why now, I think the why now is in relation to something we talked about before, on our last show, and that is...
I remember a year ago.
I know, and that's the... that was the fact that, the gut check was, was really joke check.
Yeah.
And that, with when you have, not Matthews, what's the guy's name, Christian York,
yeah.
Taylor Hendricks, Joey Ryan, these people, Matt Morgan now, been released.
Yeah. Matt Morgan asked for his release. Taylor Hendricks refused to find the new
right,
contract.
Right, right, right.
So they weren't released.
Joey Ryan cared
released.
Too much.
Yeah, he cared too
he
much.
He got Stevie Richards syndrome.
Yeah.
Sent Bischoff a letter and said, hey, how come I'm not being used on TV more?
Yep. And so that was it.
And that was it.
So Alex Silva, the original gut check who they never liked.
Well, Flair did.
Yeah, Flair did. But they
But anyway, to go back to that with these releases, because they're watching costs.
Well, absolutely.
And
there's apparently some, they've apparently been late on paychecks.
To some, yeah. And so if Sting's, I don't want to know if he's watching the handwriting on the wall, but at the very least, if that $1 million, $500,000 deal is now going to be a $200,000 deal, well, maybe just go to WWE and get that $200,000 payday for one match
for
at
one
Mania.
Match. Well, minimum. He could probably make more than that for one match at Mania.
But, like, we're talking about...
In a main event, semi-main event position, I think he probably could...
Plus the merchandising and everything that he's going to have for doing one match and taking one bump,
exactly.
One bump, right? So,
exactly. You just him against Undertaker, whatever it is, it could be, if it's done right...
Yeah.
Be a huge deal, and that's the other thing is he one of the guys, like, I've heard the guys who've had late checks come isn't the guys you would necessarily think, so it isn't necessarily your Christian Yorks or your
Mr. Pectaculars and stuff. Yeah.
So maybe he's had a late payment on him, and that would also be.
Maybe that's all it took for him to pick up the phone, right, and say,
I mean, we're just speculating here, obviously.
Yeah, exactly,
but
this place is a sinking ship. Can I come over, right? And, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, both of those factors, I think, are valid, and when, the one thing that it is or could do, I mean, again, we're speculating until it happens, but the one thing that it would do is that... historic in the point that Sting was the guy.
Sting was the guy. I think it would do. I think there's a couple things that's interesting about it. Number one, do they want him? Hell yes, of course they want him. When you say there was interest, of course there is. You know why? Because Vince couldn't get him. And when Vince can't get somebody, he wants them.
Oh yeah,
so bad.
Yeah,
like that's it is. Like he couldn't get Brett for all those years. It drove him crazy.
Yeah,
that type of thing. So that's very. Big about it. Another thing is, if he comes in, has one match, semi-main event, or main event, whatever it is, at a paid WrestleMania, and it's a good match, that probably cements his legacy. He's not the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I believe personally he should be. A lot of people don't believe he should be.
Yeah.
He's not in there. That could be the type of thing that cements his legacy, though, in the eyes of those type of people who have an argument against him. So,
mm-hmm.
he does care about that, too.
It's possible. I said I think it's more about money. And,
I
think at this stage in his career, it's a way to make, the most amount of money for the least amount of work. Really, and that's what retirement is.
He's
so,
been about that for a while in many ways.
Well,
actually, he's tried hard in TNA. Like,
yeah,
he has. I'm sure he's not working out like crazy. But I mean, like when he shows up, he can't go like he used to in the ring, especially when he's not in the shape. But it's not like he doesn't try and have a good match. It's
no,
like his effort in the matches is shitty. Not like his promos or anything work like that has ever.
It's not like that sort of 1999, 2000 Sting in WCW.
No, it's not.
You know.
He's tried. He's done. He's done what he can.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I just wonder what other big name, you know, might then be next to go. I mean, they don't have that many big names left.
Wait a day of so. Well, I mean, really the only other I think would be Jeff Hardy. I mean, they have Kurt Angle, but. You know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Bubba Ray is great there, but Bully Ray or whatever. But yeah, I mean,
he's a guy that they could use, but again, they don't look to him. So,
but yeah, they could use WWE could look to him or could use him, but he would not be any more than say Christian is.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And not be one of the masters of the ladder match. At least not as good as Triple H.
We'll get into that later.
We talked about Matt Morgan. Asked for his release. Been granted his release.
Yeah.
You think he'll go to WWE? I mean, I don't... Japan, maybe?
He could easily go to Japan. Yeah.
That, to me, would be his best bet.
Yeah. He could easily go to... Where did he go in between his period where he was released from WWE and he went to...
Didn't he go to Japan?
Did he go to Japan?
I thought he went to Japan.
There you go.
Bit, so.
I don't know. I don't think he'll ever end up in WWE. It's possible. But I don't see him there. I mean, he's already got the beard. You could bring him in as another member of the Wyatt family. But other than
that's about, yeah, I guess if...
I don't see a lot.
Well, if that Eric... Is it Eric Rowan or which is the two that isn't a very good
Rowan
worker?
Rowan's the one that needs
that's
work.
Not, that needs work. So if he doesn't pan out... Then, I mean, it's not like...
He's the one with the sheep mask.
Yeah.
So,
he's got the gimmick, I guess.
Yeah.
And
they love that. They love that mask. I think that's the favorite part, their favorite part of the act.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's a good mask.
Oh, I think it's great, yeah.
I mean, it's a great act.
Yeah.
But that was just... But, yeah, they could do that. I mean, they've done that now with the Ascension. You know, with Kenneth Cameron being fired a while back. So it was just Conor O'Brien that was left. Now they've added Rick Victor.
Yeah, who the hell is that?
He's been down there for a while. He's been a job guy down in NXT because they've had nothing for him. He's a Lance Storm trainee, actually.
Oh, okay.
And he was the guy, like I said, they need to find a guy that could do the look.
Conor O'Brien is not... He's not good enough to go up by himself, but he is good in a tag team.
I think they figured that out because they gave Conor O'Brien as the Ascension a little bit of a push there to go against Big E and stuff, and I think they kind of soured and they thought, okay, well, maybe we'll put him in a tag team. And so Rick Victor, while not looking as good yet, as he hasn't totally evolved into the gimmick yet, because I think they just kind of did it, but he was seconding Conor O'Brien last week's NXT, so they'll make that a... They'll make them a team, and then it's good for both of them, really.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you will see Conor O'Brien, for sure, up in the WWE at some point.
Yes.
If he works out, I mean, he has a better chance because they're in a tag team, if they continue to put a little focus on the tag team division.
Yeah, I mean, who knows. And that's all hit and miss. The Usos' Shield match is going to be the pre-show there. So.
We always said that. It was, you know, I mean, we were looking at it and going, the Shield's going to fall as soon as they have to actually defend those belts.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they get out of this thing with you know, Kane and Daniel Bryan, they're going to fall down the card because that's where those belts are slotted.
Yeah.
So.
Now, they've held up still. I mean, they're still kind of holding up a bit, but...
At least they're still getting TV time, and they're not treated like jobbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's a positive. But they're not, But yeah, I mean, they're in the dark match, so. But hell, I guess somebody has to be. There's a, you know, YouTube match or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Well, someone does have to be, and that's fine, I mean, I guess. But, you know, it's just a decision for, that's just a decision for creative. Added to creative. Did you hear who's now on creative?
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
No. Well, he may still be. Who knows?
No,
he's not. But so you don't know who's on
no.
creative. Oh, you didn't know?
Oh.
The Road Dogg is now a member of the creative team.
But he's not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
He never wrote a soap opera or all he knows about is wrestling. He never wrote The Simpsons or Friends or soap opera or Breaking Bad or anything. He just knows about wrestling. What the hell is he doing there?
Kayfabe.
Oh.
WWE listens to this.
Ah.
Don't get the poor guy fired.
Good point.
You know. That to me is actually that's a good move.
That's the direction I want to see them going.
I like that.
Get back to a three-man booking team who then comes to the head guy and
I don't
presents
know.
It and they work out the final directions and go.
I don't know how...
three-man booking team per show.
Yeah. I don't know how... Well, I don't know anymore, because there is no separate show, so that continuity has got to be so important.
Yeah, it still is, to a large degree.
You want to go all the way.
SmackDown guys show up on Raw, but Raw guys still don't show up on SmackDown.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Who's a Raw guy?
When's the last time John Cena has made, I'd say, since the calendar year, being 2013, how many appearances on SmackDown? One?
Maybe three or four,
maybe two?
During the Mania thing.
Okay.
He did
CM Punk
four.
Has made one, maybe
no,
three.
No, Punk's done like eight now, and that's been in like the last like 3 months.
Yeah.
Punk's on there quite often. The Wyatt family's never been on SmackDown.
No, they just showed up on Raw. They weren't on SmackDown the next night.
I
don't want to call it the
Bryant. That's a good argument.
But, seriously, I mean, that's...
The one time they've been on, it was on Raw. They've never been on SmackDown.
Well, yeah, but they do tend to do that. When they debut somebody, they tend to have them on both shows and get them... Like, Fandango was immediately on both shows, right?
But, I mean, I just don't... I don't think they consider anybody a Raw or SmackDown guy. I think it's just both now.
Yeah.
It's never been more...
Okay, four-man team.
Yeah, four-man team, whatever. And it's... But, and Road Dogg, I mean, that's a good idea. I don't know
all
how long...
with a wrestling background.
I don't know how this...
Bookers, not writers.
I don't know how long this...
Bullet points, not scripts.
I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy... Is a recovering,
but he's been there for a hell of a long time.
But he's a recovering drug addict, and I just don't want to see him use again. So,
well, those writers put in crazy hours, and there's so many of them.
I don't even worry about the hours. It just when Johnny Soap Opera comes up and tells Road Dogg an idea, and he rips the braids out of the back of his head because he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah,
like it's just I'm gonna go find RVD.
Yeah.
Like that's where Swagger at.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Fuck. Where's Randy Orton?
Randy Orton. His wife straightened him out.
That's right. I forgot about that. That was a great DVD.
Yeah.
But
don't worry
which
about
one?
It.
So.
He's his real wife.
Oh, his real wife.
I wonder who they're going to get to portray his next wife.
I wonder.
Maybe his real wife. She's not doing anything.
That would be great.
That would be the ultimate rib.
That would be the ultimate rib.
Anyways.
Let's see here. I'm just looking. Oh, haha. The McMahons.
Fuck them.
We talked about the McMahons on our last show a couple weeks ago, I know, or a week and a half ago, but we speculated there that the rumor and the talk was that they were on because the USA Network loves them.
Uh-huh.
We need us more McMahons. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's not the case.
Ah. I wondered. You speculated.
Yes.
I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah. No, but they do love the McMahons. Bonnie Hammer loves them. They love the McMahons. They think the McMahons
Bonnie Hammer, I thought she was fucking gone. I thought she...
No, she got a promotion.
Yeah,
she just,
and that's... She's gone.
No, no, she
right?
gets more now.
She's covering more stations.
Yeah,
she's less focused
more.
On the USA, right?
Well, she's maybe less focused because she has more stations, but nobody is filling in for... It's not like...
I mean, I don't know how many stations there is in the States. I don't know if it's...
Four? Five?
Yeah.
Brother. But I think that, so let's say she used to cover three, now she covers five or something, right? But they still report to her, like, you know what I mean? It's not like there's somebody else doing that WWE job. But anyway, It's apparently these three, the McMahons, and all Coon Hunter and that, the reason that they're all on TV now is to set up a big match for WrestleMania.
Between?
Don't know yet. But it's leading to a big match at one of the matches at WrestleMania.
A McMahon in every corner?
That's what I was thinking, a McMahon in every corner, or Hunter versus Vince, or...
Oh, fuck, they cannot do that.
I'm just saying. Vince has fought Hogan, Vince has fought Shawn, Vince has fought Brett.
Well, Vince has fought Hunter, just not at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, exactly. So, fuck, you know. Well, you want to see your father fight your grandpa, kids? Yeah! Okay, let's do it at WrestleMania. I don't know. I'm just saying. But
with Stephanie as the special guest referee?
Maybe, yeah. Or Trish. But, or Foley. But,
he's the guest enforcer. That's his role.
That's his role, right. But no, I mean...
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah.
Or maybe Bobby Lashley can represent Vince.
I was going to say Hunter.
Oh, no, now with Vince. Full circle.
Yeah. Well, he's a jerk. But I think that... Well, the one thing that they said is they're actually ahead of the game in terms of WrestleMania, because normally it's sort of the end of the year where they get the Mania really kind of where they get it started to figure out what they're doing. I mean, things always change.
Yeah.
But they get their basic idea, and they have their basic idea now.
Ah.
For the quote unquote big matches at WrestleMania.
The big match, that's one of them, huh?
No, but they know, like, what Taker's doing, they know what Brock is doing, they know what Punk is doing,
well,
they know what Cena's doing.
Brock is taking on Rock if Rock is coming back, right? But they don't know if he's coming back.
Right, so they've got that all mapped out as to what's happening, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. One of the things involves Hunter.
But they have to be flexible in that. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But if somebody starts to get over, they can't go, he's not part of our WrestleMania plans, let's bury him.
Yeah.
They have to be flexible to go, okay, you know what? The Wyatt family's gotten over to the point where Bray Wyatt now needs to be pushed into one of those spots.
Well,
if Ziggler hasn't worked out at the baby face, he needs to go. Like, they do have to be flexible that way.
They do. And as I said, I mean, things take some time as well. And what are you thinking about Dolph Ziggler? Well, we'll get there.
We'll get there. That's the thing, right?
But
that's the main event of the show. I mean, we're going to be talking, you know.
So I also wrote down, because now they're I guess this is because this Total Divas is coming in the next couple weeks, and they are filming a lot of stuff with the boyfriends. So my question to you was Summerfest.
While I'm sitting here.
There you go. Yeah. Summerfest.
Yeah.
Main event of Summerfest scheduled to be. Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hmm? You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think so.
At all? Ever?
Not at Summerfest.
Like, not night of the league, never?
Not
in the next, like, 6 months?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Are the twins involved?
Well, they're dating one of them, right? Or
Both of them. I'm saying if they're doing it at Summerfest... The fucking show debuts on the 29th or 28th of July. They're going to be in full hype mode with this. They're filming the boyfriends. They filmed Cena. They filmed Brian. They're going to have a match together. Is it a twin in every corner?
No.
And is that what they focus on?
No.
You're telling me that WWE is not going to focus on the twins as part of this match?
Yeah.
Really? What are they going to focus on?
If they do it, they won't do that.
What are they going to do then?
I don't know. Daniel Bryan is getting a shot at the title. I have no idea.
Okay. No, tell me seriously.
No, I have no idea because I don't think we're going to see the match anytime soon.
You don't think they're going to? You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. No.
You don't think that Daniel Bryan's going to win Money in the Bank? Cash it in on at Summerfest against.
I don't think so. No.
So he can prove that he's not the weakest link.
No, I don't think. I really don't. No. And also, I just don't think. I don't think. I mean, having them on the Total Divas is one way. Is one thing, but I really don't think their personalities at all will mesh with what they've done with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. And how much of this are they gonna they want to promote the show, but I really don't think they want to break the barrier of that show and WWE. Because it actually hinders their storytelling ability if they have to stick to actual reality. So, yeah, I just don't think that's...
Well, they've never stuck to actual reality lately.
No.
I don't know. Do you think Vince knows what actual reality is?
No. No, he doesn't.
So...
I keep working out here.
Yeah,
at least
yeah.
They ever last on them. Will they get me strong?
They will not.
No.
Maybe less fat. Nope.
Will it help me masturbate?
Yes. No, but I won't. I watched. Have you watched any of this War Games DVD?
No,
WCW War Games. I watched some of it because it was at a holiday, so I put it in the DVD. I burnt it. Put it in the DVD player, and.
So you did not pay for it, is what you're saying?
No, I didn't pay for it. I downloaded it and burnt it. Watched it. Actually, I didn't burn it. I just put it on the stick, but
okay.
A memory stick. Guess what murderer I saw?
Jimmy Superfly Snuka was never in WCW War Games.
No.
That leaves
Johnny Kane. I know.
No.
There.
What about that, what was his name? The dude who was a pimp to all the girls. Didn't he kill somebody?
The Godfather?
Dino Bravo.
Oh, Dino Bravo.
Oh,
I don't think he. I don't think he got killed.
He got killed?
I don't know that he killed
him. What about that guy who was moving all the, out of here, out of Calgary, who was moving all the cigarettes and stuff?
Yeah, it was Johnny Canine.
Was that Johnny Canine?
Yeah.
That was him?
Bruiser Bedlam or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Is he the murderer?
No. Chris Benoit.
Don't know the name.
No, I've heard it. But we were talking about Daniel Bryan, so I thought that we would.
Daniel Bryan
sparked my memory. Yeah. So, this is the first. They'd eliminated him from history.
One second. These are what do you call these things here? These things I'm using.
I don't know these grip strength things.
Yeah. They're little.
You squeeze them.
Yeah, you squeeze them. I'm gonna squeeze one out.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. I don't want to do the show anymore.
That strengthens my grip, you're saying.
No.
I gotta get me some of those.
Put them down. Hey, what about else at Summerfest? Big E, Langston, and Dolph Ziggler one-on-one.
Yeah, again, we'll see.
Yay. I was thinking Summerfest was looking good to me.
Again, I think we talk about Money in the Bank, we're going to be talking a lot about predictions of where they're going coming out of it. So
my prediction?
Pain. A pity fool. Have you got him there? Is Mr. T going to make a guest appearance on the show?
Get your jibber jabber.
Awesome.
Let me see. Okay, so before we talk about Money in the Bank, that's all the WWE notes that I really had. But
what else you got then?
The TNA.
Yeah.
Destination X.
Mm-hmm.
A week from today.
Yeah.
Destination.
I'm just gonna say if we're gonna talk about this, I have now my cable provider that I work for as well is now showing the one night only pay-per-view, so I've seen them all.
Joker's Wild,
Hardcore Justice 2.
Right.
And the new one that just came out.
How is Bob Holly?
It was great. You know what? I mean, the crowd hurts it because, I mean, they filmed these back-to-back, you know, in the Impact film.
Why sweeten the crowd? They don't have time.
It was only 4 months ago.
Yeah.
So they didn't have time to sweeten the crowd, and they certainly didn't. But as far as, like, pay-per-views, especially for the price, like, these are more entertaining than almost anything out there. And if you would like an old-school rock, you're not sure who they're going to bring back, and it gives you a surprise,
it
has that feel for it, because it might be a WWE guy as well, or a TNA guy, and if you'd be following it for a long time. I'm just saying, they're really entertaining. They're fun.
Yeah, the hardcore had, Judas Macias and Father
there.
Mitchell were
Father
there.
Father James Mitchell, which is why I actually ordered it.
For Father James Mitchell?
He's awesome.
Well, yeah.
He's great. So.
I guess for $10.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get it at half price.
I get it at half price. So, I mean, it's like, yeah.
You got it for just a little more than I paid for War Games.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was really equally pleased with it. Is there something you wanted to say about Chris Benoit, or is it just...
He was just on the DVD, and I thought that was the first time. It's the first one that he's been on since he's
been on DVDs before. It's just that they've removed his name from the back. So, like, for instance, if they're showing, if they put out WrestleMania 20 on DVD...
Well, those are re-releases, though, but this is the first time they've put out a compilation of anything that he's been on. Because they've taken special care to...
So if they decide to put out a new Chris Jericho, can they put him on now? Is that...
That's what I'm wondering.
Is it just because it's part of this War Games event and you can't hide?
They did edit some of the commentary, so they didn't. And I made sure if the announcers talked nicely about Benoit that they took it out.
Well, I mean, I remember watching a old Nitro. No, it was an old Thunder, and Benoit comes out and he's beating up. He's fighting like I think Haku Meng or whatever. And they're like, "It's Benoit, the real killer," you know.
Yeah.
It's like that type of thing. They just go, "Oh, it's just you know."
I remember Stephanie McMahon saying that on a SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think
that's what will be.
I just wonder if that opens the floodgates. I was just surprised by that because it's the first post.
Well, I guess the thing is, it opens the floodgates. Well, let's put it this way. It gets him out there.
Be in Calgary here.
Yeah, well, floodgates here, yeah. It gets him on a DVD in a way that he's kind of hidden because he's part of a team, and they can say, "Oh, you know, we weren't highlighting him." But if they don't get any negative feedback about the fact they've released this, and it doesn't sound like they have, then they might go, "Okay, let's use him." He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
No, no, no.
But it might.
What it does
get his own DVD.
Right now, he's on DVDs. What this opens the door for is for him to be on Baby Butt Wipes.
Yes, pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
Okay. What else you got notes wise? So anyways, I just want to say, if you're, you know,
oops.
$10, you want to watch something, you don't want to go to the movie theater.
Yeah.
You're looking for something to do. Those are absolutely worth the money. One night only.
But anyway, but Destination X now.
Yeah.
It looked like, I mean, since we did our last show, we've had now two impact, but really good finish. I thought real good end when Suicide revealed himself to be Austin Aries.
Yeah.
I texted you at that point because I just happened to catch the end.
So I mean, you said to me it's a surprise.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and you're like, it's great. And so I'm thinking it's, what's his name there, from Notice the Machine Guns, and Save His Old Partner.
Oh, Alex Shelley.
Yeah, I was expecting Alex Shelley. So when it was revealed to be Aries, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm like, and what I liked about it was that, because I never thought Saban had a chance.
Yeah.
To beat Bubba Ray.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, Aries does.
Yeah.
Right? And now what then he could win, and he's in the Bound for Glory series. So he comes out, maybe, you know, but I'm thinking, okay, there's a legitimate possibility that Austin Aries is the two-time winner, and this is the gimmick that he created, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, okay, this has some potential, because then if you're going to do Hogan and Bully, you don't want it for the belt, and you got to have the Bound for Glory guy anyway, and all that complication stuff.
Well, and are they going to do Hogan and Bully? Because isn't those whole plans fucked up by the fact that Brooke has gotten engaged in real life and
like,
gotten all this publicity?
I guess
they've had to acknowledge on TV because it's been so big.
I think you add that to the story. You can't get married. You're married to me. What are you doing going getting engaged? I have a valid wedding contract. I wear my ring proudly. I still love you. Didn't have to. But it's just, I mean, you don't have to make it you don't have to make it a focal point. But you can bring that up.
That's the problem. That's great. That's great.
And how many fucking people watch this show anyway?
Well, about 1.1 million.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it's on a holiday, or if it's on against
barely,
top competition, or it's the no competition, it's the exact same rating.
But I mean,
but that said, the whole point of this is just she's going to turn on Hogan now and end up with Bully.
Yeah.
Now you can't do that, and that's why I'm saying it fucks everything up.
Well, you could still do it.
She can't do that, and then
sure she can. It's fucking wrestling.
I think it's going to be tough. If the marriage continues to get a lot of publicity and they've had to acknowledge it, they should have just never acknowledged it.
Well, whatever. You know, I don't think it really matters one way or another because it's fucking TNA.
Yeah, good point. Which, by the way, like we say, we're talking about all the off and all the off-air problems they're having. But like you say, generally, it's really good.
Well,
product,
but the
right?
thing is, here it is now. Is Chris Sabin's won the belt back.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, but see, now I'm back to the point where, to me, Sabin has no chance.
See, and it's the opposite for me. For me, it's okay, Aries, this thing is so valuable. Now, it's so valuable, especially at this time of year, that Austin Aries would do this. Like, he's so desperate to get
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden, and Sabin is so desperate to get it back. And then they have, like, a 4.5-star main event on last week's Impact.
Yeah.
Incredible match.
Yeah.
Between them. And Sabin goes over clean over the former world champion.
Yeah.
Sabin getting the push. He seems legitimate now heading into Bully Ray.
I guess.
It makes that thing so valuable.
Like, when you have the Hogan factor, too. You have the Hogan factor where Hogan can screw him out of the belt.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
Right? So, or help screw him out of the belt. So, there's,
I mean, I thought it was great. I thought it was like, that was what it needed.
Yeah.
Really made the Destination X event seem like a big
yeah.
deal.
So, like, what part of, like, because it's next, well, I have next week, so do you think, is it at the beginning, the middle, or the end of the show where Chris Sabin joins Aces and Eights?
Oh, if that happens.
I'm just being an ass, but not,
no,
an,
not
asshole.
An asshole.
No, because
no,
that's
2013.
It
How's
is.
It going,
see?
By the way?
That's wonderful. We're halfway through the year.
More.
We are more than halfway through the year. And, yeah, I think we're...
And you mean nothing but nice to me during this show.
Cordial, you know, just, yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough, because you're so fat. But I just...
But still, you being polite.
But I've been able
the
to be polite.
Time, he's so nice.
I mean, like, it's your... I haven't just called you a fat fuck. I haven't...
No, you wouldn't do that now.
Banged your mom, or talked about banging your mom, at
no,
least.
No.
I banged your mom, I just haven't talked about
no,
how many times, three this week. But it's really been tough, but...
Speaking of which,
I'm up to this.
Every time I watch Impact, because of you, every time Hulk Hogan comes out to his music, I banged your mother,
I
banged
your mom.
I cannot get it out of my head.
It's like the Kofi Kingston SOS song.
SOS.
I banged your mother. Scrubbing. Speaking of which, now we're in Calgary here for most favorite event of the year, the Calgary Stampede.
I call it the Stoopies.
And you know what my mom's doing?
What?
She's at the Big Four mm-hmm. there in the thing. She's hooking.
Explain, please.
It's like making, like, bats and rugs and stuff.
Oh, okay. She's doing the knitting thing.
Yeah, the knitting. The hook. She's hooking, yeah.
Oh.
She's a hooker. I went to visit her because we went to the Grandstand show the other night.
Yeah.
I went to see Mom, and I sat down. I was surprised she didn't see me. She had her bag, so I just sat down. I didn't say anything, and she turned around. She's like, "Oh," I'm like, "Yeah." I told her my friends you were a hooker, so we had to come see.
Yeah.
And my mom looked at me without missing a beat. She goes, "I am a hooker. Want to see my work?" I said, "No."
So why is all the time she be fucking me for free then?
Hmm? Huh? Apathy.
What else you got on your notes?
Well, we just talked about Destination X, and
yeah.
I was just, there's going tonight. Is it or?
It's just that main event, though. I don't think it'll be an all X Division show.
It is. There's going to be stars from the past returning.
So kind of like the Joe or the X Division One Night Only event. Then.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll
so
see.
So will Loki be there?
They talked about talented people coming in, so. I don't
so
think
will.
So. I don't think
yeah,
so.
So he's definitely going to be there.
What was his name there? Caval?
That latest time, I think it was Caval. No, Caval was WWE. He was...
Senshi. Right, the Warrior's Way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I mean...
he was awesome.
We'll see what they've got. I mean, maybe they do bring him in as, what do they call it, Triple X?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Maybe that's some of the stars in the past. Maybe you have... Skipper and Loki against Bad Influence.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right? I mean, why not? So, we'll see. Again, they were talking about stars from the past. We're talking about paychecks being late. I mean, it's like two divergent things here. The business and the promotion aren't really gelling right now, right?
Yeah.
So, but we'll see.
They bring in Funaki. They brought him into Hardcore Justice. Because when I think of Funaki, I think hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hardcore Funaki.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other thing is going back to the Impact Zone. WWE looking to put their Hall of Fame in a restaurant in there, I guess. In Universal Studios, Orlando. You hear this?
A restaurant?
Yeah, well, right now, yeah, a restaurant. Right now, or I don't even know if it's
I'm pretty nonplussed about the idea that they're going to go into TNA's home territory and put in something like a Hall of Fame are going to be. I am more amazed that they're going to enter the breath. They lost, what was it called, WWE World or whatever?
Well, it was called WWF New York and then the World. Times Square,
and
yes.
This restaurant they ran, they lost their shirt.
I know.
And they lost, I mean.
Nowhere else, though, could you get a Booker T-Bone.
But millions and millions of dollars.
And millions.
Like,
it's like the Nitro Grill.
Almost as much as the XFL, I think.
Yeah, I think it ended up being about as much as the XFL.
Like, it was incredible that they could lose that much on a restaurant.
Actually, yeah, but...
So like they just can't run anything else besides the wrestling program. They've proven that, despite
well,
the call.
Again, if you completely outsource it and are just loaning your name to it, that's one thing. I mean, right now, where they're going to put it, I guess, or where they're talking about putting it, is right now in Universal, or where there was in Universal, at least when I, and even when I was there a couple years ago,
yeah.
There was an NBA store and restaurant there, and a big basketball, so they could call it a world, just turn it into a globe. But anyway, that is, they're shutting it down, or they're getting rid of it, whatever, and so that...
Could WWE buy TNA?
Hmm? Could WWE buy TNA?
Like, is it a possibility? Like, I mean, I know financially it's a possibility, but
yeah.
Like, I mean, theoretically, is it a possibility?
I guess.
At
I mean... It's possible.
Would you see them doing it?
I just... They would have to be canceled off television, I think. Or they would cancel it off TV. Because all of their television contracts would prevent it, right?
Yeah.
That's where the... That was the loophole in them banging WCW the first time, was because it was on TV and all the NBC Universal or whatever they had at the time.
Then they could just leave TNA in there.
I guess it was Spike at the time, Viacom.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let it do it. But, I mean... Yeah, if I would think if they bought it, though, they would just take the three guys they want or five guys they want and shut it down.
You never think about it. I mean, WWE has this relationship we talk about, USA Network and NBC Universal. And then
Universal Studios.
And it's an obvious thing. And then you have TNA in there. TNA's on the road now anyway, so barely using.
Not using it at all.
Yeah.
They're done.
No, you're right. They're not using it in there. That's
interesting. Everything because those Joker's Wild, those pay-per-views are old, right?
Yeah,
that was the last thing they did.
That's the last thing they did, yeah.
And,
but there was always the possibility they would go back there.
I guess there could have always been that possibility.
But yeah.
And if WWE goes in, then that might...
They can end up instead and TNA can go to Folsom University.
There you go.
And we're good. We're good to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the other thing that opened today is the new developmental facility.
Yeah.
Open today, so I guess Sarah Del Rey and Steve Kern were training some guys. So,
world class facility, supposed to be as awesome as you can imagine it being.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing because you know what? If you're gonna look like a major league, you know, not company, wrestling company, you're gonna look like a major league,
like the movie,
like the NFL. Oh. Like you know, I mean, you know, I mean, they don't do the combine at a dusty little gym. Like it's you want to look like you're a big deal.
Well, and if you're trying to attract legitimate college athletes,
that helps.
You know, then you know, I think it was Brian Alvarez said. I mean, yeah, like come to the Davis Arena,
yeah.
Right? I mean, no,
well,
you're not getting anybody there. But to
well,
go
that's
to this,
not true. They have gotten legitimate athletes when it was JR doing it. He could get a legitimate athlete in there regardless of.
Well, that's true as to where it was, but
yeah,
wrestling was also hot at the time.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit easier that way. I mean, you don't do it now. I mean, no one's going into it now. They're going to UFC, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to go after the legitimate athletes, then who knows? Maybe they do.
Well, I think that's part. I mean, that's what JR and Briscoe have been doing now,
yeah.
Is going and doing those recruits. So
it's
happening anyway. So I don't really have anything else. Do you have anything else about TNA you want to talk about?
Nothing else about TNA. ROH has dropped their iPay-per-views.
Yes. Thank God. They've also dropped their champion.
Yeah, that's actually also true.
We haven't talked about that at all.
No. I feel everybody in on, as we talk about it, of course, Jay Briscoe is the world champ now.
Yes, and their contracts have expired, Jay and Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
And apparently Rhett Titus as well, who was on Raw.
Was he on Raw?
Yeah, he was in, I forget, when they did the fight between Maddox and Vicky.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's Red Titus just drinking a coffee, standing in the background there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So apparently he's not under contract, and he was just kind of exploring options, I guess. I don't know if he was in town or what.
The Briscoes, I don't think we're doing too. At least they were at some house show or something.
Well, the Briscoes the Briscoes were ringside at a house show there. And it got a little bit of attention because they were ringside at a house show. But this is like the fifth house show for WWE that the Briscoes have gone and sat at and been to. It just happens to be that they're not under contract and they're talk about WWE swirling.
What this comes down to is they were almost for sure going to go to the WWE.
Right.
And then I think it was Jay who made these really insensitive comments on Twitter. And it's kind of, you know, possibly cost them that opportunity. Now, they're going to have a tournament and rebrand the ROH title so they can go back to ROH, so they can do something there. He cut an unbelievable promo on the title.
Yeah, he did. Don't do it.
Yeah. So we could do that, or they could still end up in the WWE. I think there's a really good chance we're going to see him in WWE still. We talk about TNA cutting people, and again, letting all this great talent go. Like all the talent that...
And Crimson.
Well, I like all this, but not just Crimson. I'm talking about, like, people they brought in.
Yeah.
You know, in gut check.
What's pretty much all been gut check, right?
Well, the people let go, but I'm talking about people they didn't hire.
Oh, I see.
You know, some of the people they brought in, they didn't hire, and you're going, why aren't they hiring this guy?
Yeah.
And now it just seems like they didn't want to add costs. Some of the people that they brought back to the X Division, you know, for these one-night-onlys or the Ultimate X or the...
when they did the tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Last summer.
Couple of years. And you go, why aren't they bringing these guys in? And it makes sense. You look at the guys who have come out of ROH, like the, you know, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, and CM Punk, and
Daniel Bryan,
and Briscoe's now, and whatever. These guys, ROH could have had them, or sorry, TNA could have had these guys super cheap anytime they wanted them for years.
Yeah.
They didn't grab them, and now these guys are upper mid-card guys, or main event guys, in the WWE, and they could have had them for a song.
Well, TNA had Punk.
They had Punk first, yeah. You know, he was just part of a group. He was buried.
Him and Mickey James were Ravens flunkies, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
that was in the early days before pandemic.
Their ability to identify and sign talent and develop it is really starting to catch up to them now. We're talking about them, you know. Right now, they don't have all the guys from the main event mafia that they had before or whatever.
Right.
You know, like they don't have all the, you know, Kevin Nash.
Steiner and Nash and Booker.
Yeah. So the guys they have right now, guys who really are the attention of the company, except for Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Sting. I mean, it really is largely guys that they've, you know.
It's their guys.
It's AJ, Bubba.
Aries. Look at Saban now.
Yeah, Saban.
Daniels, Kazarian.
Let's go back. James Storm, Bobby Roode. So let's go back and look at this now. These guys have been there for 12 years.
Yeah.
So AJ's, what, 36?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Daniels is, what, like 42?
At least, yeah.
Storm, I think, is like 37.
He's in his mid-30s, yeah.
Roode is in his late 30s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we got here is...
Failure to communicate.
Finally, these guys are getting the chance, and they're too old. And they don't have that next generation coming up. They don't have
those
24-year-old guys.
They're so old.
Who are there.
No, that's right.
You know, who are the next Joes, who are the next...
Well, Joe's another guy.
Joe's another one, late 30s now, you know, mid-30s, whatever. Like, they don't have that next generation. Now that these guys are finally the focus of the company, they're too old. It's almost too late, because a guy like James Storm can't go like he once could.
No.
You know.
But the argument can be made with WWE. I mean, they at least have the younger guys. But Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are the same age as those guys. You know, John Cena is mid-30s, same age as me. You know. So Randy Orton's not a young guy anymore. He's in his mid-30s.
There's a difference, though. These guys are seen as stars.
Well, that's true. These guys, a lot of these, well, they are seen as stars. But Brian and Punk, they're new stars.
Well, Punk has been
for
upper mid
2 years.
He went to the next level.
Yeah.
But he's been pushed for a while. You know, I mean.
But so is Bobby Roode.
No, Bobby Roode's been pushed for 2 years.
Well, Punk, though, I mean, what was Punk, the new Nexus?
Yeah, he was the new Nexus. Before that, he cashed in too many of the banks. He took on Jeff Hardy for the title.
Well, he did that Straight Edge Society gimmick.
Know,
I mean, again.
No, he's been up for mid-card for a long time. For years.
Yeah,
five or six years,
I guess. But
yeah. It took that long to establish
him. But I think, again,
the thing, Daniel Bryan's not established yet.
But I think Beer Money and like the Motor City Machine Guns and the Dudleys
matches,
were,
but they weren't the focus. They weren't. Well, getting, they weren't.
They were upper mid though for TNA. They were. Yeah, they.
No,
were.
They weren't.
The tag
point,
teams were upper mid at that point.
No,
yeah.
They weren't. That's when Nash and Steiner and all those fuckers were there.
Yeah, but those were the main event.
Mafia.
Yeah. But those were the main events. But the tag teams were the semi mains on those shows.
Yeah, but they were not. It's not the same. They're not single stars.
Well, they weren't single stars.
You
but
know?
I think they're still.
And that's it. I just think that I look at these guys and I go, yeah, you're finally focusing on these guys, and they're older and they're not as good as they once were. Joe has broken down a lot.
I don't see that being an issue as much as outside of Magnus.
There's no young guy.
Yeah, outside of Magnus, there's nobody next.
So what there should have been for all these years was that should be in the focus of the company, and then young guys should be always filtered in.
Right.
Instead,
but WWE come through that problem, too, though.
But
that's a wrestling problem.
No, but here's the thing. They didn't have to filter in because they had all these young guys, though. So they didn't have to filter in new young guys. And so for years they didn't because they instead went with former WWE and WCW guys.
Yeah.
And now it's the point where, okay, we can't go with them anymore. So now we got to elevate these guys. Oh, wait, we got nobody underneath.
No, that's
right. And that's where that's a big problem for TNA. WWE, I mean, say we were talking about their developmental and this and that, but I really look at the new blood put in here over the last couple of years, and it's they've done a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
Damian Sandow, they've done, you know,
The Shield.
Daniel Bryan, The Shield, Ryback, and all this stuff.
Wyatt family's looking
yeah,
good. And
yeah.
You've still got, you know, and Cesaro. You've still got Sami Zayn. You've got Cassius Ohno down
yeah.
there. I mean, they're still viable. You know, we talk about the Ascension.
And again, Cassius Ohno, another guy. TNA could have had him for a song for
yeah.
years.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Sami Zayn.
Generico, yeah.
Generico could have had him for a song for years, and they didn't do it.
I think they brought him in, didn't they, and then they didn't
they
sign
were
him.
Too busy.
They're,
again, too busy giving these other guys that didn't do anything and they couldn't put their future in.
Yeah.
They were so busy signing them, and they couldn't afford all these guys, and now these guys have gone to the competition, and they're going to be stars there, and they're really fucked. Because
yeah, well, they're WCW,
but it's not even like ROH is bringing in that next generation isn't even an ROH anymore. Like a lot of that has been picked dry from you know, on Dragon's Gate. Really have been picked dry by WWE. They've done a great job.
Well,
and
I think the thing is, and that's just it, is that they have picked the thing. And we talked about Samurai Del Sol.
Yeah, exactly, Samurai. But again, it's like they could not only could they have had them, they could have had them so cheap, and that's the part that gets me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing is that but cheap for them, like ROH and TNA. I remember who was it? I think it was I don't even remember who was maybe back in it was what's his name. Whoever didn't go, I'm trying to remember who didn't go. Because it was at one point there was like Joe and they had an Iron Low Key, like they had an exodus to TNA when they were working with both, right? And
the two companies were working together before until they got on Spike TV.
Yeah, and
then they had to sever their ties.
Yeah,
so they actually had a working agreement for a long time.
But they didn't, and they didn't sever ties well, if
no.
I recall.
No, they didn't.
And so people had.
Are you talking about the guy, Roderick Strong? Is that the guy you're thinking of? Or
they had a bunch. No, Roderick Strong went.
Yeah, he did go.
Because
yeah.
he was part of them and the Messiah of the Backbreaker. But there's a bunch of guys that. But they were talking. It might have even been like Austin Aries and Roderick Strong at the time. They were talking about how.
They had a chance.
Yeah.
Didn't get them.
Talking about, though, that they were making just as much money in ROH as they were in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and TNA was just the mark potential. It must have been Austin Aries, because I think this sounds like him. Was the mark potential of being on television.
Yeah.
But the money was the same.
Yeah.
So
they could have had them, paid them that same money as ROH.
Yeah.
And put them on TV, which was the draw, and they could have had all these guys. And now that these guys aren't there anymore, these guys are in WWE. And the Briscoes are another one. And it's just like, the Briscoes are like the last one where you go, fuck, those guys should be getting, they should be on a national stage. They're so talented. And if the WWE doesn't want them, TNA should be screaming to get them. And they're not. You can just tell they're not.
And there's some guy, I mean, ROH isn't the...
And how much would you want to see, bad influence against the Briscoes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... And there isn't a WWE count. I mean, I'm sure the Usos against against the Briscoes would be great,
awesome.
Too. But, I mean, they wouldn't let you do it. It wouldn't be, because they wouldn't
allow
that. Oh, no,
it'd still be great, but not the same way.
I'd love to see the Briscoes on Saturday Morning Slam. That would be funny to me. But, and again, the deal was Zeb put Zeb Coulter in...
with the Briscoes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they don't have to talk.
Well, yeah, because they actually can talk, but I don't know if they can talk and not
say shit. So, I mean, they'd have to, but I mean, they could talk and do their lines, but they shouldn't get free reign, and that's where Zeb Coulter comes in, right?
No, they shouldn't get free reign, because on the other hand, they got to let the Briscoes be the Briscoes. But the Briscoes would get over.
Briscoes
would get over. Especially if you
They'll go to developmental first, though.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And that is fine. It's just a matter of, which is great, because then we watch them on NXT.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's
just it. I just look at TNA, I think, fuck, they've just blown it. They don't have that next generation.
The
guys that they have, they're late in their career, they're being made stars.
Magnus is their only young guy that I could think of.
Now, after years of having them in the mid-card, now it's like, hey, by the way, they're our main eventers now, and it's just, it's not working.
Austin Aries at least hasn't been around too long.
No, Austin Aries is almost the exception.
You know,
he's the one guy I think is the exception, but really, he's still the same age as these other guys, but he's fresher.
But he is, he's fresher. Like I said, he's like a Daniel Bryan or CM Punk.
But Bubba Ray's 40. You're like, he's.
And every bit of 40. I mean, so. Yeah. I mean, when you look at their young guys, it's like, it's not Wes Briscoe, it's not Jared Bischoff, you know, it's not...
Those are the only two guys
Mr. Pectacular, it's not Robbie E., you know what I mean?
There's no guy that you go, fuck, he's really good, he's just at the bottom, but he's going to...
But he's going to work his way up. Yeah, he's not...
They've just blown it, like I say. And I don't know how they couldn't recognize for years, just say, there's so much talent out there, we got to get it.
Wow, that's just mismanagement, though, and that doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Whereas
Terry Taylor and Bruce Pritchard, both have done a poor job.
Big John there now.
Yeah.
Was the producer or whatever, right? The guy that did Tough Enough or whatever.
Yeah.
He got canned because he was friends with Kevin Dunn, and Hunter and Stephanie are getting their own guys in.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's interesting anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad somehow, I don't know how that came up, but I remember thinking that 3 or 4 days ago. I wanted to talk about it, and of course, I didn't write anything down this week. So, unlike most weeks.
Unlike.
Yeah. So anyways, but I'm glad that came up. I think that's interesting. Topic there. So anyways, you got any more small notes, or is it time to move on to the main event?
Let's move on to the main event of the evening. Do we want to answer a Twitter question?
Did you just get it?
Yeah, I just got it.
Literally?
Literally.
While we're on the air?
While we're on the air, my phone. It's from our friend Liam.
Oh, yeah. What's Liam want to know?
He wants to know...
Did you tell everybody we're recording looking for questions or something? Or?
No.
All right.
Do you have any idea who chooses the theme songs for the wrestlers in WWE and TNA?
I don't know.
The Jim Johnson...
Would
be the musical director, I guess, for WWE.
Former, though. He's not.
Is he not with them anymore?
I don't believe he's with them anymore. But yeah, he's the guy who would create the music. But that's how it used to work, and I'm sure that's still how it's worked, is they would show him film and tell him what his gimmick is, and he would create the music.
Yeah, I remember on Beyond the Mat, they'd do Invader.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, though, it's their... a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is just finding a generic theme, like a generic rock sign or whatever, but...
Not so much anymore.
I guess a lot of you guys, like Cesaro has his own.
Daniel Bryan has, and
I cannot not sing Kill the Wabbit when he comes out, though. I really wish they'd switch.
But they've got, similar is, what's his name, Sandow, right? It's similar.
Yeah.
But then you can talk about the Wyatt family.
Yeah, the
you know,
Wyatt.
The Shield.
Yeah.
At least.
And that's it, defining this music for them, for some of these guys anyways, and in developmental and in NXT, that helps.
Yeah.
But, it is that if you're thinking, do the wrestlers have anything? No. If that's essentially what you're wondering, no.
Not yet.
No.
Not to start with, no.
Well, even after your Daniel Bryan has no say.
John Cena could have say. Chris
John
Jericho.
Cena could have a say.
Chris Jericho could have
CM
say.
CM Punk's had to fight, like, his ass off.
Yeah, but he's got say.
Chris Jericho has a lot less say than you would think.
No.
CM Punk, yeah, he does.
No, but...
If he wanted to put out a Fozzy song, he'd have to fight tooth and nail like CM Punk had to fight.
Well, he wouldn't, though, because because he knows Vince would ask him to sign the rights over.
Yeah.
But if he wanted to change his song... He would fight for
that. If
it's
something they're going to have to pay for, like CM Punk's, he'd have to fight like crazy.
And they're already talking Rancid doing a new song for Punk, right?
Yeah.
So, to get rid of that. And that may very well be the fact, because he debuted that at the Summerfest, wasn't it? Or just before the Summerfest? Two years ago?
Was that the Money in the Bank, but maybe it was the Summerfest.
Yeah. It was with his new contract.
It was with his new contract, yeah, when he came back.
When
right
he came
before.
Back on Raw, yeah.
When he came back on Raw.
So,
right
yeah. I mean, if they signed a 2-year deal to the rights for that song,
yeah.
right?
They and had I mean, him at WrestleMania already.
I was going to say, they had him at Mania, so, I mean, and of course, I don't think that would be a tough negotiation.
If Daniel Bryan goes up and says, I want the final countdown, they'll say no. Like, he doesn't have any say. They didn't come to Daniel Bryan and say, what do you think of this music? Daniel Bryan just went out there one day, and that was his new music.
Well, sure.
That's how it works.
That's how most of it works.
It's not the guy with anything.
No, no.
As for a general rule, like you say. John
Cena, there's the odd one, but, I mean, yeah, for the most part, no.
Yeah, Undertaker can get what he wants.
Yeah, Hunter, obviously.
Yeah.
So, Raw. What happened on Raw?
Let's go through the card here, like we say. I'm going to open up with the Usos against...
we're talking about Money in the Bank now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in doing so, I'm sure we'll cover Raw.
Okay. Usos and
Usos
the Shield.
The Shield for the tag team title. What do you think of the build, and what do you think is going to happen?
I think you're fat. Oh, the build. I said your build. The build has been...
Cordial, you know.
The build has been mid-card.
Cordial.
Yeah. I'm not an asshole.
I don't think I think they've done a good job with the Usos. It's just a too much too soon for people to take them serious.
All of a sudden, exactly.
Yeah.
But
in the little time that they've been pushing them, I think they've done a good job as a general rule. I mean, obviously the Shield is going over.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't say obviously. I think there is about a 15% chance that Usos win.
Okay.
I'd say, do you think there's any chance at all?
I would put it like that 10%.
Like, it's not, chance, like, but, there's a slight chance that they win.
But it's very, very rare.
You're trying to look up the card now?
I'm trying to look up the card here, but I'm just looking, like, the original Invasion, the Unreal Story of Black Saturday. 10 tag teams you forgot about. Let's see if we forgot about these tag teams.
Okay, let's do it.
Because the three pictures they have, I remember all of them.
Yeah.
That's Power and
Glory,
Glory,
of course.
Southern Justice,
yeah,
and Chronic.
I barely remember Southern Justice, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there it is, Southern Justice.
Totally awesome tag teams you forgot about. I don't know if I'd say totally awesome.
There's Southern Justice. We're not going to watch them take on the Headbangers.
Southern Justice was who?
was the Godwins.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Pitbulls.
The Pitbulls, I was thinking, as soon as I saw the Pitbulls, the picture hadn't come up yet, so I was thinking Kid Cash and Jamie Noble.
And Jamie Noble.
But it's actually the ECW,
And they never debuted in WWE.
Pitbull 1 and Pitbull, exactly.
Anthony Durante, he was, I'm surprised here, because he died of, like, a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another guy died, didn't he die of
I don't know.
Or something?
Something,
like
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah. An ECW guys, I didn't expect them there.
No.
But, of course, Power and Glory.
Power and Glory.
Hercules Hernandez,
And Paul Romeo Roma.
Actually, it isn't Hercules Hernandez, sorry. Yeah. It's just Hercules.
Well, it is Hercules Hernandez, though.
Well, yeah.
Not at the time, though.
Not at the time, though, no.
And Paul Romeo Roma.
Yeah.
managed
Slick.
By the Doctor of Style Slick. There's Chronic, Brian Adams and Brian Clark.
Yep.
Crush and Adam Bomb.
Yep. One match against the Undertaker that was awful. Lightning Express, I remember them.
Yeah, Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner.
Yeah.
And there's Ted and Allen right there.
Yeah, that's right, as a referee.
As a ref, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we got here? Faces of Fear. Of course I remember.
How do you forget the Faces of Fear?
Well, so not only were they the Faces of Fear, and I've mentioned this before, they're one of the best tag teams in WCW.
Yeah.
They're really great there, but they're also obviously, you know, working as the head shrinkers. No, not the head shrinkers.
No, they weren't the head shrinkers. Sione the Barber.
But they did work. Didn't they work together in WWE?
No. Haku and Tama were the Islanders.
Yes.
Barbarian Warlord, of course, Powers of Pain.
Okay, yeah.
And then the Barbarian come in with Fatu as Sione the Barbarian to be
That's
the
right.
new head shrinkers.
That's right. But I thought they worked together in... Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. But either way, Faces of Fear were awesome together in WCW.
Yeah,
Jimmy Hart, the manager.
Yes. In the Dungeon of Doom.
Yep.
Vicious and Delicious.
Yeah.
Buff and Scott Norton.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's forgot them, I don't think. But if no matter what, you say totally awesome. I don't know if I'd say that and have them at, like, this high on the list. But hey,
well, I don't know. They really haven't numbered the list.
I guess they haven't, no.
But, yeah, totally awesome.
But, again, you hear these names and you hear about these teams and you're going, why does the tag team division suck now?
Yeah. Well, Vicious and Delicious, though, like, did they...
So they're great together as, like, a... It's a great look and kind of, you know...
But did they even really... I just never really remember seeing them wrestle that much.
No, they didn't.
You know what I mean? Like, together as a team? Like, I just...
That's because Norton was usually in Japan.
Yeah, that's true.
The Blue Bloods. One iteration of them there.
Yeah, this is Earl Robert Eaton and Sir Stephen Regal, Lord Stephen Regal.
Yes.
Then they had Dave Taylor, Squire Dave Taylor in there to start with, and the Earl of Eaton replaced the original member of the Blue Bloods.
That's right,
Jean-Paul Levesque.
Now known as Triple H.
Triple H.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Some of those vignettes where he turns him into that were hilarious. The Headhunters.
Holy.
Or the Squat Team.
Yeah, who had one appearance at a Royal Rumble. And it was unique.
Well, no. These guys had a couple appearances.
Did they? Were they on TV? I don't remember.
Yeah, they came in and they beat the shit out of the Head Shrinkers and then were never seen from again.
That's right. I remember that now.
But
yeah, they debuted at the Royal Rumble, and it really weird, because one of them comes out, and you're like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
And then later on, another one comes out, like, don't they pass each other in the aisle?
Yeah, they look at each other just so
and
you knew.
And they're twins, and you're like, holy shit,
they had to.
Like
I think the gimmick was they had to pass each other in the aisle so people wouldn't think the guy came down twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because nobody, it was their debut, though.
Yeah.
And they never talked about them.
No, it was a really...
That was the same one that Vader was debuting in, and they spent all their time hyping Vader.
In 95, wasn't it?
96. 96? 96, yeah. They hyped Vader in 95, December 95, so it was January 96.
Okay.
Well, here, it'll probably say, won't it?
Oh, no. Probably not.
Yeah, 1996
Royal
Rumble match.
I tried Wikipedia for the card instead of WWE.com. You don't go to WWE.com for actual information.
Well, here, we're not done with the tag team.
Oh, okay.
Yet,
I thought that was the last one. I forgot
the
that.
Skyscrapers.
Oh, which version of that?
This appears to be Danny Spivey.
Danny Spivey with Sid Vicious.
And
not
Sid,
not
with
Cowboy.
The Undertaker. No.
Undertaker, yeah.
Protect the gimmick.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let's just see here. Yeah.
Did they even mention it?
No, they don't even mention it. Yeah. Totally protect the gimmick.
Yeah, Spivey looked good there in that role, actually.
Yeah. So.
All right. Okay. So let's
20 memorable superstar debuts.
Yeah,
we're not going to
stand forever doing this. So let's not get to it.
Shows. It's right here.
Shows. Okay.
Money in the Skank.
Oh. Your mom is hooking now.
She is hooking.
Yeah.
All right. So here, should we go to the bottom of the card and work our way up?
Go to the bottom and work our way up.
Okay. So we talked about the Usos and
there. Yeah.
Then we got Jericho against the Ryback. I'm sorry, Cryback.
Really weird promotion on this one.
Yeah.
They didn't interact at all in the Go Home show.
No, Jericho has been involved with Curtis Axel.
Yeah. And then and the Miz kind of a little bit too.
Yeah.
Ryback is he did that gimmick where he was crying. Well, he was running away, and he's quit a match against the Miz. Now I think it's on SmackDown this coming. He
fakes it. Yeah, he fakes the injury and then
beats Miz. It's a very strange. I don't know. Very strange build. When this was booked, I didn't know who was going to go over. So I'm like, Jericho can't lose again. But
Ryback can't lose again.
Exactly. It's two guys who they can't have
lose. Jericho can lose again.
Yeah, he probably can, because he's Jericho.
Yeah.
That's probably what we're going to see. Does it lead to something at SummerSlam, though? Is it possible that it's just like a double countout or something? Is it leading to a rematch, or is it trying to build Ryback to something?
Does somebody interfere?
I don't know.
Excuse me? I got the vibe from that interaction that she's going to be Ryback's manager.
I think there's a very strong... Basically what happened was Vicky was...
leaving the office with all her stuff.
After being fired.
Yeah.
On this past Monday, Ryback hugs her on the way out.
Yeah, it stops. It's going to be okay.
Very nice, sir. Yeah.
Everything is going to be
okay.
He was
nothing heelish at all, except for the fact that it was to Vicky.
To a heel,
Vicky
exactly.
Vicky was great on that show. I thought she played her role terrific. That whole segment was odd. And that whole segment, the McMahons love that, because that's a segment which McMahons get to prove everybody, hey, this is real. We're really that powerful. And
yeah.
They love to stroke their own dicks like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, especially Stephanie.
Yes. She loves stroking her dick.
Stephanie does. She loves, she's, yeah. Yeah. Just ask her.
Yes. Ask her. So, I think Ryback wins this, is my prediction.
Yeah. Shitty build. Again, you look at these first two matches, you're going, I'm not going to see this event.
Caitlin against AJ Lee.
As far as actual TV time and a storyline build, it's good.
Yeah.
As far as, again, establishing clear baby faces and heels,
mm-hmm.
it's not good.
Yeah, apparently coming up on SmackDown here, it's like they get Caitlin's text messages where she, like, buries, like, Natalya and Kali and a bunch of stuff.
And just in general, now they're just making fun of how fat Caitlin is, and she's definitely put on weight. And it was really highlighted when she came out like AJ, but that was really weird when she came out like AJ, and her response seemed out of character.
Yeah.
When AJ comes out, she's far more entertaining. She's funny when she's cutting down Caitlin.
Yeah.
They still continue to do AJ and Dolph Ziggler. They haven't done a very good job. Like she almost, if he's a babyface, she's getting a babyface rub. If she's a heel, he's getting a heel rub.
Yeah.
And that's confusing again, but that gets into the overall point.
Yeah.
Of no babyface or heels or not. So, I mean, a really, like, lots of TV time. You think that good job building an issue, shitty job building what we're supposed to expect or cheer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But AJ retains.
Yeah, AJ will keep the belt, and Dolph probably won't win the belt, and that'll be kind of the piss-off thing, too, right? Because they're supposed to be the power couple both with the belts.
Well, I think Dolph's got to win the belt.
We'll get there.
What's next?
Okay. Next is The Miz against Curtis Axel.
Again, a really weird build.
Yeah. He's losing to Jericho by, like, count outs and DQs and...
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, Curtis Axel's not winning all the time. The Miz is The Miz.
Yeah.
The Miz is less likable, probably, than Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
You know, Curtis Axel playing the whole role with CM Punk, but nothing ever came out of it.
Well, not yet. I think it...
Not between the two of them.
No.
So it's just a weird place for him to be. And, of course, there was all the kind of babyface reaction when he won the belt there a month ago.
Yeah.
And it's not like you think, oh, what a great match that's going to be. Like, the Usos versus the Shield, I think it'll be a terrific match, except for they'll only give it, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah, this will not be a great match.
No, this will, you know, if it's a two-star match, I'll be surprised. But, yeah, I mean, Axel obviously retrains.
Yeah. Then we got the heel Money in the Bank.
And this is where I go, Ziggler's got to win, doesn't he? Because everybody winning in this SmackDown Money in the Bank, and you say there's no SmackDown or Raw, but here's evidence there is, sort of, to a degree. The blue briefcase. not the red one.
Well, it's for the world heavyweight title. And it still is the blue briefcase, yeah, blue for SmackDown, but that's it. That's just tradition. I mean, all these guys are on Raw and SmackDown.
Who's going to get the cheers?
Ambrose?
It depends on where's it being held. Where's the event being held? Because it'll depend largely on how smart the crowd is, won't it?
Wells Fargo? Yeah, it's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, then Ambrose will get cheered.
Cody
could get cheered. Cody
would get cheered.
When he showed up...
Antonio Cesaro will be cheered.
That's possible. When he showed up on Raw after not being on TV for a couple of weeks, Barrett just stepped into the screen with the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
He got a big cheer.
Yeah. Barrett could get cheered. I think Cesaro, though, in Philadelphia could get cheered.
Yeah. Ambrose could.
Yeah.
It's a really... Again, it's an odd dynamic because...
It's all heels.
Anybody get cheered? Because it's all heels. I don't know why they did it this way.
No, I don't either.
And it really shows if all your up-and-coming guys are there, that you don't have a baby face in there. That's kind of...
Yeah.
Also, it kind of reveals how their booking philosophy has been shitty, and their booking has been shitty for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of exposes it a little bit. Who's going to win? I mean, Ambrose is going to win, isn't he? Or Ambrose for me is the favorite. And this is the good thing. I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
I want to see it because I want to see who's going to
win.
That's
right. And I could deal with everybody but Fandango winning.
Yeah,
I'd be okay. Maybe not Swagger so much. But
I could do a storyline with everybody, but I could do a storyline with Swagger. I could do a storyline with everybody winning except for Fandango. Well, I could do a storyline with everybody, even Fandango, but. But Fandango's the one I don't want to see win. I wouldn't mind seeing Swagger win.
I wouldn't care if Swagger won. I just, it was just one of those things.
I'm 90% sure this is where we see the breakup of Team Road Scholar, that Sandow turns on and beats the shit out of Cody.
Yeah, it could
be. I wouldn't be surprised if Cody gets wheeled out of there on a stretcher.
That could be, yeah.
To set up the break.
It to baby face.
I'm positive that's going to happen.
That
he's going to turn on him, not the beam of the wheeled out part. So I'm looking forward to a baby face with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
How many years ago did he turn on Bob Holly?
Oh, God, yeah.
7, 8 years?
God, we're...
2006?
We had to watch it. Remember, we had to watch the event up here.
Yes.
And this is like when I didn't even live up here.
Yeah.
And we were like coming into Boonie Land to go watch it.
Yeah.
And I bought a bunch of vodka at the liquor store next door and put it into the Coke there.
Yeah, that's right. That was because we couldn't bring in, because you were going to do it to the Gatorade, because we'd just been watching
Hockey Talk Man
and Sheiky. And Hockey Talk Man was drinking vodka and his Gatorade.
Yeah, we did the Powerade, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
That's right, good times.
So mature.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching wrestling. I'm getting fucking hammered.
Did I ever?
I'm like, do you have to? I'm watching wrestling. I'm watching a pay-per-view. I gotta get hammered.
It was 2005, I think. I had to, yes.
Watch
that SmackDown only fucking.
Yeah, exactly. So this was a long time ago. He's been a baby, being a heel. Like, you don't realize how long this guy's been around.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
He's still only like 28, 29. Like, he was really young when he came
still
out.
Is, and he's another example of a guy that, you know, WWE has on that young guy. This whole match,
exactly.
Actually.
This whole thing, I mean, that's the one good thing. They literally do have, like, all these guys are, like, 30 or younger. I mean,
Wade Barrett could win it, too.
Anybody could win it. I don't think Wade Barrett, but maybe the fact that kept them off TV is their logic for winning it.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, you don't try and think of what they're thinking.
No, that's right.
And that moves on to the other Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, they're calling the Money in the Bank All-Stars and Christian.
Christian, have they fucked that up or what?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he comes
back, he beats Ambrose, he beat the Shield, and then he jobs out in succession to Sheamus, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and Kane in four shows in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just... letting everybody, and you know what? It's okay if he's not on that level. But expose that to us. A, you want to keep him at least somewhat strong for Ambrose's sake.
Yeah.
And B, expose that he's at that level after this is done. Like, don't do it
when you're
building him up and trying to show him as a star because you're trying to say it's a superstar match. Like, have him beat Sheamus. It doesn't fucking matter.
And do you think...
Have him beat Kane. It doesn't fucking matter.
But do you think that... they're going to go with Ambrose and him at SummerSlam?
I wonder now.
Like, it seems odd to me, and it would always kind of seemed odd to me, especially, and we'll get to it in a sort of to close a little bit with the Wyatt family, but, I mean, that was the Brothers of Destruction against the Shield, and I thought, okay, well, what's Christian doing? Well, now, okay, that maybe becomes a possibility there, but...
Well, I mean, the Shield eventually will take on the Wyatt family, and Shield will be babyfaces. The Shield baby.
I mean, Christian, though, against if Undertaker and Kane were going to fight the Shield, were they just going to fight them 2-on-2? I guess then you could have Christian and
you could.
Ambrose.
I always saw it as a 2-on-3, though.
So did I. And
well, I mean,
so
and
then
and that's again, they're kind of. It's like the Shield right now. I don't want to see the Shield against Undertaker right now because it seems like it's too far down for the Undertaker. Like the way the Shield is right now.
I think it's. It's only a month away. I think you're fine.
Yeah, maybe. But, again, then the Wyatt family, immediately when I'm watching, you know, Kane get beat up by the Wyatt family, you're going, Kane and yeah, exactly. I mean, these two monsters who are Kane's size against the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
But I really don't think we're going to see Undertaker at SummerSlam. And he's got to get revenge on the Shield.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm thinking, right? So
I don't know what's going on.
But that seemed, yeah, all seemed kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the Husky Harris chant to end Raw, though.
We'll get there.
But that's the All-Stars.
It wasn't the end, though.
Then you get the... or, yeah, it was the end of Raw. I guess that's maybe when I stopped watching. And then Dolph and Alberto Del Rio.
Again, just because it's all heels, Dolph's got to get it. Plus, if you're gonna successfully turn Dolph, like there's no challenger for Del Rio. Like there's nobody there right now that I can see that he can defend against at SummerSlam. Maybe Chris Jericho.
Maybe
Jericho has to win against Ryback. I suppose. No, maybe not.
Rematch. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of, is if something happens where Alberto does the smarmy, you know...
Again, but what if Ziggler's taken on Langston at SummerSlam?
Well, I guess that's what we talked about. Yeah, that was kind of
so
a plan.
It's just, again, it's all fucked up.
Because that won't be for the belt.
This gets back to me, how badly they have books. Like, Ziggler should have been the baby face, and he should have gotten the crowd reaction. He should have gotten, like, it should have been... The rocket strapped
yeah,
to that.
His babyface turn actually reminds me of Alberto Del Rio's babyface turn.
It's really shitty.
Yeah.
He's not coming out with AJ, but they were still together on Raw. I don't understand why he just didn't come out that very first night, call out AJ, the very first night he's back, and say, I was injured. You never texted. You never called. You said you were my baby on TV and acted like it, but that was just to get yourself attention on TV.
Yeah.
You never once acted like you cared about me. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. It's done. She still has the reason to get Langston after him down the road.
Not down the road. Look,
baby,
thanks, but no thanks. And to me, that's like Shawn Michaels telling Sid he can have the night off.
Yeah.
Right? That's easy to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he's instant babyface. But instead, what you do is you have him kind of still with AJ. You have him coming down to the aisle during AJ and or during Del Rio and Sin Cara's match. And God, they got rid of that Sin Cara lighting.
Oh they God, came, yeah.
This just kills the crowd. But they got him coming down, cutting the most annoying, grating promo. And John Cena was never this grating.
Wow.
Like, he was awful.
Cena-esque though.
Yeah, just terrible. On the house shows now, Del Rio's getting the cheers over Del Rio.
I know, I heard that, yeah.
And, like, they have just, they didn't say to everybody, he's a heel, baby face now, feel free and cheer him. Like, they just needed to do it, and they haven't done it. It's a really
Well, they've kept
job.
The lines blurred everywhere. Talk about the money in the banks being all heels and all baby faces.
Yeah, which means that, you know, someone like Daniel Bryan, like, have they fucked that up?
Well, Daniel Bryan in Philadelphia, again, him and Rob Van Dam are going to be your two. And, I mean, and you got Punk, too, but
yeah.
Punk obviously gets knocked out by Lesnar.
Yeah.
Or Heyman, at least, distracts him to
lead
him to
something.
Well, the
Money in the Bank All-Stars, again, who do you think is going to win? Do you think Daniel Bryan is going to win and cash in against?
See, to
see
me,
it.
I see...
I think RVD is going to win and cash in.
No, I see Daniel Bryan...
They set it up so Daniel Bryan wins.
And I think he does. I mean, they go off, though, in the go-home with Randy Orton, right? briefcase in
no,
hand.
No, they went off in the go-home with Daniel Bryan because the go-home is
Raw. Oh, it's Raw. Yeah, okay.
But SmackDown does have, and Orton is the betting favorite.
Yeah.
I could see everybody. The only guy I don't want to see with it, and the worst guy with it would be Sheamus.
Or Kane.
Sheamus would be the worst.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Sheamus with
it. No, Sheamus doesn't need to be. But there's Sheamus and Del Rio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about, you know, a world title thing. So you could do Sheamus and Del Rio.
God, that's a retread, though.
But
at SummerSlam, I just...
When was it retreaded, though? Not in this heel babyface dynamic, though, was it?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, when Sheamus was the champion. He defended against Del Rio, I think, 4 months straight.
Yeah, babyface... I guess this would be a...
babyface heel.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I remember it was 4 months straight. I just... Okay,
They actually had, like...
Yeah.
Most matches against
you're right.
A year or something like that on TV. Like, it was... Brutal. So,
was it
Sheamus
that just won the 100th match of the year?
I don't know.
I think Sheamus is the guy that's won the most matches this year. He won 100 now.
Yeah,
and Daniel Bryan's number 2 with 94.
I can see that, yeah.
And then Randy Orton's number 3.
And John Cena's not there?
No, like, he just hasn't had as many matches, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, again, it's... you gotta go... I think RVD wins it because RVD will get a big reaction and RVD will mean something... RVD means way more money-wise, drawing power-wise, at SummerSlam, than Daniel Bryan. Because they fucked up Daniel Bryan. Because they had Daniel Bryan come out and be whiny and be two-faced and do things like be the referee.
Well, he's, again, yeah, exactly. He's another prime example of is he a heel or is he a tweenerville, right?
They haven't. Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, jealous that his friend might also beat Randy Orton and prove that he's it's not such a great accomplishment, so that means he still could be the weak link. Like, all of it, and his insecurities, and he's never gotten over, you know, all this. The crowd wanted to get behind him.
Yeah.
And instead, his character, he's on TV a lot. He's a star. But his character, they can't get behind it
the way they want to.
People want to cheer him because he's very charismatic and likable as a wrestler.
I think they will.
As a character, he's not.
But I think they will in Philadelphia.
Well, Philadelphia, but they won't for some. Like, as far as if RVD wins and RVD doesn't wrestle another match but cashes in against Cena, that means a lot more. I really think RVD is winning this.
Yeah.
The way they built him up.
They have built him up very well. They have built him up very well.
You know, it's hilarious because I remember watching this Hardcore Justice here.
Yeah.
And it's him against Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn's farewell tour.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for him to be more motivated. That's his all-time favorite opponent and one of his best friends. And they came out there and they did all the same moves at two-thirds or 50% of the speed that once did.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is a great match if it's
1999.
Yeah, it's an incredible match. Now it's a match that looks phony. And it's not that he didn't want to. He was trying to go as fast as he can.
Yeah.
He can't.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to against John Cena.
He doesn't need to against John Cena, and he doesn't need to in the Money in the Bank. And like I said, you can hide it, and you maximize his potential then.
Yeah.
And I think he wins. I do think they go that direction.
Well, I mean,
because I think they're going to sit there and go, Daniel Bryan's not getting the reaction, pal, that he wants.
Yeah.
And I don't see money in him. Because Vince doesn't see money in him.
Well, he didn't see money in Sean either.
Well,
did you hear about that conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
Sean called him and said, you didn't see money? And Vince goes, yes, I did. Sean goes, no, you didn't.
I did. Not for a long time.
So, well, I don't think ever.
Oh,
until he came back, I guess.
Well, but, no, even before that he did, because he was letting Sean get away with all that shit, because he wanted to fuck him.
That's true.
When Vince wanted to fuck Sean,
Vince
had a man crush on him. You would think the fact that Daniel Bryan is pulling the exact same woman as John Cena, like, Vince is such a predatory alpha male, to see him with a Brie who's, you know, Brie Bella or whatever.
You'd think
that would, like, have Vince go, oh, fuck, that kid's got something. That's who he's fucking? That's a fucking good job, pal.
You
would think that would really do it, but apparently
nothing's
going to do it for Daniel Bryan.
No. Don't stop a match on Daniel Bryan, though. But now we get a main event or the top match on this list.
By the way, I do think I don't think this goes on last.
You think the All-Stars goes on last?
I think the All-Stars goes on last.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's the focus of the build up to the show is. I could really see Randy Orton also winning just because I could see him turning heel with it on John Cena. John Cena doesn't have... If John Cena... If this is a one and done, which is if Daniel Bryan wins and goes against... It seems a really strange one and done.
Against Mizark?
Against, yeah, Mark Henry, yeah.
Now this, this has been great, though.
Oh, Henry's been awesome.
Henry has just been fantastic. Like, yeah. the
Which is, again, why it seems strange.
The opening thing where he...
If Henry wins, and he has to defend against
Daniel Bryan,
that... See, this is how I book it. I have Henry destroy Cena in, like, 8 minutes. And I mean, Cena tries and doesn't get hardly any offense. I mean, he just plows through him.
Yeah.
Destroys him like Cena's nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry. But it's not about you, John Cena, right now, and you can be rebuilt, and you're already John Cena. I have him destroy him. I have Daniel Bryan win it.
If this comes on last.
Well, yeah, if this comes on last, but it doesn't matter. I have Daniel Bryan win it, and Daniel Bryan say he's going to cash in at SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
And everybody going, no, don't do it. Wait for a better chance. Not against Mark Henry. Look what he did to Cena. You got no chance.
Yeah.
You got no chance. You don't think I can do it? Just because John Cena could do it? That's the storyline.
Yeah.
You do that, the crowd will get behind Daniel Bryan like crazy.
Yeah. No, that's the best way to do it. I agree.
They're not doing that.
No, they won't, because it involves kicking the shit out of John Cena, and that can't happen.
It should, though.
It should.
That's the best move for business.
It is. But it's not the best move for family. but I loved John Cena playing, like, John Cena looking vulnerable when, you know, Henry's doing the flinch at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa.
Like he was scared.
Like he was scared of him, and it was great.
The whole thing is being, and the crowd does the what thing, but that doesn't matter, because I think Mark Henry, when he calls them puppets, I think that totally, you know, works, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mark Henry's being great. I think it's a small chance you see a title change for a rematch, but if it's a one and done, what do you do with Henry? Like you can't kill him now either. But so, and that's the big deal. Where are they going for SummerSlam with most of these guys? That's the other thing. We talk about baby faces of the heel.
Yeah.
You don't see that guy for Del Rio. If they're not doing a rematch, who's that next Del Rio guy? Who's the next guy for Ryback? Who's the next guy for Sheamus even? Like,
well,
who's the next guy for John Cena?
Well, and that's where you get to the retreads. I mean, you could do Daniel Bryan and Cena.
Sure, you
okay.
could. I don't think they will, though.
You do Brock and Punk.
I think they're literally going to go, he hasn't gotten, the crowd isn't, the fact that he didn't have the crowd support against Orton the way they hoped he would.
Yeah.
Or the way they thought he was going to, and that's all in their booking.
Oh, yeah.
But because of that, I don't see them, I think they're going to.
Well, then you just do a rematch, right, with these two.
I suppose. And then who's after that?
Here's the thing, though. The other thing that you don't have to...
The point is, Mark Henry is, like, the only guy out there for Cena right now.
What you don't have to worry about is if the ladder matches are going to main event, and you do, let's say, two in a row, you could do some fuck finishes on these title matches, because...
I'm not even talking after coming out of SummerSlam. Like, after, if... Okay, he has a rematch. He beats Mark Henry in the rematch at SummerSlam. Then who does he take on?
That's what I'm saying. Unless you're programming these guys into these newer guys into things, you've got nothing fresh.
No,
there are no fresh matches. You do Punk.
But there's also just anybody believes right now is ready. Like, there's nobody prepared for Cena.
Well, for Cena, it's what I said. I think you just do Daniel Bryan. If you don't do Daniel Bryan and you have Rob Van Dam win, then there you go. Then there's Rob Van Dam that's going to do it, right? Or you have Randy Orton win, and you're right. He turns heel, and you have Orton and Cena. I mean, there's...
But all this is short-term.
Well, but they know what they're doing for Mania, apparently. And then Mania's not about that in terms of short-term, and now everything used to build to Mania. Mania now, as we've talked about, is about... The Undertaker match, or the Rock match, or, you know, the Brock match, the big, or the celebrity, or whatever, right? It's not about
the guys. Is Brock and Punk going to happen?
At SummerSlam, I think, yeah. That seems very obvious
to me.
Does
Brock show up in this match?
Does he show up, or does Heyman get involved and distract him? Because he asked Punk if he could be at ringside, and Punk said no.
How about the Wyatt family? What's their role?
Do they need a role?
They have to be at Money Bank doing something, yeah. And we're talking about Kane not being
I don't
there.
Think they have to be. They might be, but I don't think they have to be. Yeah, and Kane, it may be where they do a replacement, but I don't think so because there's no, I mean, there's not really an announced replacement because there's no TV time left to do it. And so, and it's an all-stars match, so you have to have conceivably an all-star be in it. And so I don't know.
Again, it's usually where they're usually what they put together as a card is usually good. How they get there just confuses the shit out of me.
Well, and the fact is that the ladder matches never usually disappoint these
No, no. I mean,
matches,
this would be a good event. I want to see the event. I don't want to see the event because of what they've done, though. I want to see the event because I trust that the matches as they are, plus the event and the potential history of whoever wins the Money in the Bank, you know, so-called history. I believe that that's going to be interesting enough to want to see it. But as far as God, I gotta, you know, I can't wait to see because what I can't wait to see what's going to happen with Henry and Cena. That's really your best build, but, you know. I mean, or Caitlin, AJ, Miz, and Curtis Axel, or you know, Ryback and Jericho. I'm not sitting there going, they've just done such a good job building this. I can't wait to see this. Like, they've blown it. So, I'm not, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're buying it, but it's almost like you're buying it for the wrong reasons. You're buying it despite what they've done, not because of what they've done. And that's, yeah, again, it's very confusing. And you can't tell, it should be a good thing that I can't tell where they're going coming out of Money in the Bank. Like, you don't want to be able to tell where they're going. You want to have some, be able to enjoy the journey. And I don't know where they're going coming out of SummerSlam. That should be a good thing, that I don't know where they're going. But there's a difference between not knowing where they're going, having an idea, but knowing they could go two or three directions, and not knowing where they're going because they're so confusing that nothing seems like it should work.
Well, nothing's really... I mean, there's two sets of logic here. There's the logic that, okay, sometimes people all don't get along, but when it's happening across the board, like I can see it okay if sometimes you have those three-way, where the three, you know, like Benoit didn't like DDP, DDP didn't like Raven, Raven didn't like Benoit, Benoit didn't like Raven, okay, fine, they're all just individuals, right? But now this is like nobody likes anybody.
Yeah.
And it's blurring the lines because they're presenting matches with people that are supposed to be two baby faces and then two heels, right?
Yeah.
So, I just...
When you have a guy like Daniel Bryan, I think, I was going to say this to you, not this last show, I said the week before, like, you were gone, I was texting you, like, this is the most confusing Raw ever.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Bryan turned baby face and heel, had six heel turns.
Yeah.
Baby face turns, like six times.
Yeah.
He turned baby face or heel during the course of the show.
Of the show, yeah.
You know, had a full baby face or full heel turn during the course of the show. And it's killing them. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm going, I don't know for sure who's going to win between Mark Henry and John Cena. And that should be good. I don't know who they're going to go with because I don't know which one is going to draw more money or which one they think is better.
Right.
But instead, it's like, I don't know where they're going to go with because they've set nothing else up and it's just really confusing. And that's the wrong type of I don't know who's going to win Money in the Bank. It should be great, but it's not because I don't know who's going to win because they built everybody up being so strong. It's because they seem to be so schizophrenic that I don't know where they're going.
Where they should be going is Daniel Bryan and John Cena at SummerSlam.
No.
That's
where
they
should be going.
That's where they should be going.
If they hadn't fucked up Daniel Bryan or Bryan.
Either way, that's where they should be going.
No, they shouldn't. If they continue to book him like they have over the last 3 weeks, then they shouldn't do it because it's not going to draw really well.
Who's going to draw better?
RVD will draw better.
Well, that's the only argument that I can.
Even Orton would draw better.
I don't know if Orton would draw.
Punk would draw better.
I don't know if Orton would draw. Yeah, but Punk's fighting Brock.
I know.
So I'm taking that off the table. And I don't know that Orton would draw better. But RVD, and I don't know if RVD is. RVD or Brian, to me, are the two to go with.
No, Brian, let me tell you, if they had done Brian right, But if Bryan is getting booed
they
again,
they can't
Orton,
do anything right. They're not going to do.
They've done RVD right up till now.
Yeah, up till now. But then he's going to debut, and then he's going to be on Raw, and then he's going to lose to Curtis Axel via countdown on fucking SmackDown.
Like, yeah, and then he's going to jump, and then he's going to jump Daniel Bryan from behind, and then he's going to save John Cena, and then he's going to him and Christian are going to have an argument in the back, and everybody's going to be confused.
He's going to turn heel. And I mean, who
heel,
knows?
Baby face, heel, baby.
Yeah, like, they don't know what... I don't understand... I don't know.
Vince McMahon all those years ago said, I don't think the WWE audience wants good guys...
versus bad guys.
Yeah.
Certainly the era of the superhero who will tell you to say your prayers and eat your vitamins is certainly passé.
Yes. Yeah. Talking about Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
They're right to a degree. Like I said, I don't think you need...
Well, I was going to say for context, for context, I didn't like when in late 97, I didn't like Stone Cold Steve Austin stunning Ahmed Johnson and then going after Owen Hart either.
No.
Like, I didn't think that was a particularly good move, and it wasn't until Austin had Shawn Michaels to key in on and you had that straight... babyface heel that it really
took off
to that next one. Well, Mike Tyson, but I mean, it's
Mike Tyson got the viewers. But.
He was doing the blurring, but if he had been doing the back and forth blurring on route there, never would have worked.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? It's just,
I should say never would have worked, but it wouldn't have been as good.
No, exactly. I mean, ultimately, we talk about what a great draw he was. He was no question the babyface, and Vince McMahon was no question the heel.
Right, but
there was no.
But the lead up, there was a lot of blurring though in Austin.
Yeah, there was up until then.
Up until then, right? And that's what I said. That was what focused in, and that's what.
And like I say, if you look at late '97, despite a push for a year, he's not getting nearly the reaction that people think he is.
And as I said, because Shawn Michaels hates Steve Austin, Steve Austin hates Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart hates both of them. They hate Bret. I mean, there was that again.
But like I say, I talk about this, like UFC.
Yeah.
People will choose who they have to cheer for, and they'll choose who they're gonna. They don't have to push somebody as a babyface or a heel. They can just let their personality.
Yeah.
The crowd will pick somebody.
Right.
If they're charismatic and skilled enough, the crowd will pick somebody, and that's what they do. They just have to present Daniel Bryan. The crowd will pick. But once the crowd picks, don't confuse them. Once the crowd picks Chael Sonnen as the heel, they don't confuse them.
No.
Once the crowd picks, Bones Jones as the heel, they're not confusing him.
No.
And when they pick, Chuck Liddell as a babyface, they don't confuse him. And that's the basic thing that we're talking about here. You know, I don't think, I understand the super good guy, bad guy, super, I don't think you need to do that. I think it's, I like the idea that everybody's competitive. I like the idea that the title means something. I like the idea, but once that's clearly defined who the crowd wants to boo and the crowd wants to cheer.
Yeah.
Then
don't try to change their mind.
And don't have two that they want to cheer go against each other. Don't have two they want to boo and exactly.
Plenty of guys there. I mean, and it's just I don't know what it is it's obviously it's one of their soap opera writers or friends writers or whatever writers. They're sitting there going, this guy's never fought this guy.
Yeah.
And now they got 3 hours and five
hours.
They're
looking at
right?
these TV shows, these Walking Dead, and they think they're doing that, and it's a different thing. I mean, Walking Dead characters can have a more complex. Is he good? Sometimes he shows good side of him. Sometimes he shows the bad side of him, and it's intriguing because you're wondering where it's going to go.
No, but they're generally.
But they at the end, even though they might show
the governor is the heel.
Yeah.
Right. He really loved his daughter.
Yeah.
But he was a heel.
Yeah.
You know, Merle was a heel. He loved his brother, but he was a heel.
But he was a heel,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's definitions there. There's layers to the character, but at the there's heel or they're babyface.
Yeah, exactly. This new show, Under the Dome, I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen that yet, no.
Great show. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, there's a character, it's the Townsend. Small spoilers.
It's so the guy hanging with Jerome.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, actually.
Nice.
No, but he's like the...
Mark Curry?
Councilman. You know, on the show.
Is he Mark Curry?
No. Oh. This character, though, I mean, he's sitting there, and there's a fire, and he brilliantly comes up with a plan to put the fire out, despite the water not working in the city. really, you know, and he's very nice to people. But then he gets home and he talks to one guy and he goes, "Don't you fuck this up. We can't let them know why we were bringing all that fuel into the town and what we were doing."
Right.
It's like, you know, he's the heel, but not everybody knows it.
Yeah.
That works. Like, that's not what wrestling is.
No, they tried.
They think they're doing that, and that's what they think right now.
Remember Cable Eve? Eve?
Yes.
She tried. They tried that.
But that's what they're doing with Daniel Bryan in a large way. That's what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to make them... I'm not saying the characters shouldn't have layers, but I am saying that when the point comes...
They're not ogres.
Yeah. Yeah. Or onions. Yeah. When the point comes where the audience knows what they are and accepts it, you don't have to continue to confuse them. It's a fact.
No, that's right. No, and that's just it, and because that's ultimately what they're doing it for. It's different than a television show.
It is.
You know, this is a live event show.
I don't have to pay to cheer for one of those guys on Under the Dome or, Walking Dead or whatever.
Well, no one's there live cheering or going, exactly. Yeah. It's just,
I don't have to pay for paper. It's different, but they don't realize it. I think that's the problem. I think that's it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
But you know what? The truth is, when there's no baby faces, there are no heels. When there's no heels, there are no baby faces.
Mm-hmm. And there's no money.
And there's no money.
Right? That's what it is. And there's no stars. And because is it? Roddy Piper, Halloween Havoc 96. You know, you think they'd be cheering you so much if they weren't booing me so much.
Yeah, talking about him and Hogan at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, or at...
we've mentioned it before.
Score. But
what,
I mean,
we've talked about it before. What really ignites the territory?
Yeah, who drew
it? The babyface draws the money, but it ignites the territory is always the heel.
It's the heel, exactly. The heel's the catalyst.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
They don't have it.
They don't have that heel. And that's where you hope that Bray Wyatt is the guy. So we haven't actually talked about it. The Wyatt family. Go over how this went and what do you think of everything leading up to the debut and actual debut itself.
I thought the search for the Wyatt family compound was retarded.
It was. It was an awful idea.
It was. It was stupid. Yeah. Because he's been cutting promos and doing these vignettes.
To the music, and they're not So
when there's someone at the fucking compound, you couldn't have just had Husky Harris or Bray Wyatt, like, come on and do that? Like, why did you need to lead a cameraman into that, to the compound? Yeah. Why couldn't the camera just turn on, and it'd be there like the other ones? You know,
the only thing that was good was when he's sitting there, and the other character is Rowan, and who's the other character again? I want to say Brody Lee, but that's like his...
Yeah. But that's the... Yeah. Anyway, sheep by.
Yeah. But when he saw him chopping the wood and he looked up at him, then he like turns the corner and then goes back to him and he's just staring at him.
Yeah.
Like, that was creepy. But that was like the vignettes. That was just like a guy...
You didn't need to tell the story that someone is looking for the compound.
Because that's creepy. That's just weird. And,
yeah.
And then they get inside and they're doing that. What is it they had like in the background? Like,
obey.
Yeah, and they showed the other room where they were doing like this cult stuff. And all that shit was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And not cool. And.
But then then he does the promo.
Then he does the promo.
And it was a great promo.
It was unbelievable.
You know, great promo.
Unbelievable.
And,
we're going to play that in a future promo show.
Yeah, we will.
You know, it was an incredible promo.
And then he beats out of the lantern, and he blows the lantern out, and the lights all go out, and the lights go out all in the arena as well.
Yeah.
And Kane's in the ring.
Kane's in the ring. He had just beat a jobber.
He did.
A really low...
What was he, a Jewish guy?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Was he a Muslim? Christian.
Christian, that's it.
Christian.
He was beating a Christian.
Yeah. So, anyway, then the lights all in the arena go out as well. And then the music hits.
Yeah.
And then they come out just with a lantern.
Yes. Which had shown for the first time lit in the promo, right?
And that's right. That's what he did. He lit it. And we blew it out, though. But then he relit it.
Then he relit it.
Yeah. And tremendous reaction.
Oh, huge reaction.
Huge. Yeah. Like, the biggest on the night, I think.
Yeah. And it was in Baltimore where the crowd had been either incredibly hot or incredibly dead. No in between.
Yeah, that's right. Which, again, that's all. It's been all their crowds, though. But that's what they've... That's the product they've portrayed.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so... and so then they come out, and the lights go... he blew up the thing again.
Yeah, he sits... You see him sit down in his chair.
Yeah.
And the best part of that was he's coming out with that lantern, and all the lights are out. And So you can see him walking with the lantern. You see him clearly. In the background, you just see the sheep mask.
Yeah.
Like you just, it's
floating.
It's like it's floating.
Yeah.
And it's just enough light that you can see it.
Yeah.
But just sort of barely, and it looks so cool.
Yeah. And then he blows it out. Then the lights come back on, and the Wyatt family beat up Kane.
Yeah, well, Bray Wyatt is just sitting in the chair.
He's sitting in the chair while Rowan and
the key thing about his promo was, I don't have followers, I have brothers in the cause.
Yeah.
I mean, that line, right?
But he did say at one point that people are sheep, they need to be led.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's all, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not confusing, it's more like there's context and layers. And
yeah.
It's you know. So, yeah, the two of them, they beat up Kane. Kane tries to fight him off, and they beat him up. And that's where it lost it for me, the spot, where they're outside, and he's on the steps.
The stupid step spot, I thought the same thing, with the V.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hold it up, and, yeah, it's like the V, like the hole in the steps.
Yeah.
And they act like they're going to ram it into him. And as soon as they hold it up, I'm going, they're going to ram that into him. And there's, like, 3 feet, and it's going to come, like, a foot and a half from his face.
Yeah.
And it's not going to come even close to looking like he actually got hit.
Yeah, right? And they did the camera from behind or whatever, but it was too late.
It was too late. As soon as it happened, you went, that made a huge noise, and it hurt him about as much as you know.
Yeah, it's awful, you know.
Yeah. Like, it didn't, like, well, I mean, he was hit with nothing, and it didn't look like he was hit with anything.
Right.
And now he's selling this, and it made it look phony.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to do something that looked cool and looked dangerous, that was really, really safe.
Yeah.
Instead, you just did something that looked really
stupid.
Phony.
And especially now that you're selling it, that, like, Kane's out of the Money in the Bank.
When nobody, and the crowd reacted the same way. The crowd was like, oh, as soon as they saw that, they were like, he didn't get hit. Like, everybody was like, that was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you saw people, like, the people in the front row literally
at each other and
like,
going,
like, come on now. Because it doesn't look like he got hit.
No.
You know, not like that fake chair shot to the head that actually hits the steps, but if it's done right,
yeah,
it looks real.
Yeah.
And it can be sold. This just looks like, I mean, like when you're watching, you know, you're watching a bad Hollywood movie, like a B-movie,
yeah.
And somebody punches somebody, and you can tell that they missed by, like, 2 feet, and the camera angle's supposed to hide it, but it's just so badly done.
Luke Harper, yeah.
Yeah,
and Eric Rowan. But that's what they needed. They had all this build, and they needed to do something great, and they didn't.
That's really... Now, I think it'll still work, because he's charismatic, it's a great gimmick, great promos, but it's too bad that spot...
And the husky, hair, it's...
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't say much on that. They were chanting Skip Sheffield and you know, stuff like that at Ryback when he first showed up, and that stopped.
But that didn't stop, though. That was like they going in and they were doing the whole thing, and that's all I could hear was
Husky. It will stop. And like you say, it's that there's somebody in the crowd who wants to prove how smart they are. Like, there's a bunch of people in the crowd who want to prove how smart they are, and when they start chanting it, people just follow along because they are sheep. Like, I wouldn't read too much into that. I'm not reading too much into it.
I just think that, to me, that took away from it. It was that stupid step spot, followed by the fact that immediately after the stupid step spot, he walks over and they start chanting Husky Harris in the segment.
And if the step spot hadn't been so stupid, maybe they wouldn't have.
No, that's true, but they did, and it was like a 1-2 punch, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was. It was bad that they chanted that, especially after that stupid step spot.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like I say, it won't. But then when they went, just before they go out, they showed really quickly like a flash of the sheep face.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Keep up that stuff. Like, this is an act that will work, and I do believe in it, but somebody should have sat there when they came up with that and they tested it. I'm sure they must have tested it and went, that's fucking stupid.
Like, yeah.
It's going to look bad. Let's come up with something else. And it's too bad nobody did.
Yeah, who's the agent on that one, right?
Exactly.
I mean, just fun. But, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that is it.
So we're going to watch Money in the Bank on Sunday.
We're going to watch Money in the Bank. We're definitely going to watch it. Yeah.
So that'll be good. We'll do a post-show, I guess.
Or a live audio commentary, one or the other.
One of the two. Yeah, that's true. So,
or maybe both.
Maybe both, if you people are lucky.
And thanks for tonight being so polite and cordial to me.
Yeah.
Not being an asshole. I appreciate how well you've treated me.
Well, you're welcome. I was thinking, too, when we were talking about onions and layers and such, is that, you know, if you painted yourself green, you could be Shrek.
Mm. Yeah, so I really appreciate how nice you've been.
Yeah. Shrek was a beloved character. I would prefer Spidoki. Mostly because I can make waffles.
Oh. I'm making waffles.
I'm making waffles.
That was awesome.
It was.
No, actually, even better. Even better when he's like, ooh, is that you, Shrek? When they're climbing up and it's like the dragon and he's talking about it. It's like the what do you call it? Like the smell from the dragon.
Oh, there. Yeah.
He's like, ooh, is that you, Shrek? You should have. He didn't say shit. You should have warned me. Like, you should have warned me. I had my mouth open and everything.
Yes. Bill and Vince know that one.
Yeah. You know it's funny. Not that Dennis Miller,
motherfucker.
All right.
Tell
everybody what they need to know, the pertinent information.
We are at WeTalkWrestling.com is our wonderful website, so go there and enjoy. You can get all the podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher, on your mobile device.
If we have a problem in the future, we will figure it out. We're just warning. We're getting, like we say, near a storage limit.
We'll
figure that out so that...
We can still get all the latest shows on iTunes. The latest show will be on iTunes no matter what. So,
we might have like 24-hour issues, my understanding, just switching it over.
I see. Okay, we'll figure that out.
But you'll notice them all on iTunes. Fuck you, Wade Keller. And our shows, you'll notice also, are marked explicit. I know that probably surprises you.
Fuck what?
Yeah. But also, I'd like to say, fuck you, Wade Keller.
Oh, could you?
Yeah. Huh. So we're on iTunes, though.
Oh, yeah, we are on iTunes, fuck you, Wade Keller. And we are also at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is where you get us on Facebook. You can go and you can like the page and all the shows. And we got some other links to some of our friends on Facebook as well. Fuck you, Wade Keller. And @WeTalkWrestling.com the email to send us some questions, or you can tweet us @WeTalkWrestling, as I said, as Liam did today, and we answered his
question. On the air, we will.
Yeah, the power of technology, it all comes just to my wonderful phone here, so we can get all that shiznit there. So
yes, I think that's fucking Wade Keller. That's it.
Gonna do it. So that's, I guess, it. So in the meantime, and in between time, fuck you, Wade Keller, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
OUT.
Good night, folks.
Man, I wish next episode, remind me, I forgot to say fuck you, Wade Keller.
Oh, fuck. He knows.